Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 159 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Hey, it's Brutal Dave. What's happening?
It doesn't sound very brutal.
Hey.
Brutal. Hey. And we also have with us again...
George motherfucking Tripsis.
The team is back together.
That's right. I live to see another day.
We got the band back together, like the Blues Brothers, man.
But we're not on a mission from God.
We are not. No. We're on a mission from Satan, actually.
Satan.
We are on a mission, actually...
I have a funny story to tell you, actually. I'm going to tell it here.
We are on actually a mission to talk about our favorite shit from 2018.
Oh shit, it's the rewind episode.
That's right. So if you listen to this show, you listen to MSR Cast for years.
We need a soundboard.
We do not need a soundboard. No.
George needs a soundboard.
Wait a minute. George is his own soundboard.
Oh no.
So what we do, we don't really go our top 10, top 15, whatever.
Speak for yourself.
Even though we sort of, in our minds, do that, so you can think whatever. It's our rewind, what we enjoyed the most out of 2018. So we're going to cover movies this week. We're going to cover some TV shows. We're going to cover some video games. We're going to talk about some music, which if you really want to know more about that, listen to the last episode of MSRcast, and you'll find out in full detail about Brutal Dave and my choices. And we're also going to little talk about comic books, and anything else we can think of that we loved.
Did you mention movies and TV?
I did.
And music?
I did.
That's all I got.
Okay. So what do you want to start with? I mean,
well, the most I have is movies.
You want to start with movies?
It's the most I have too. So it seems
so. There we go. We're starting with the heavy one.
We're going with some movies. Well, before we get to that, we haven't recorded in a little bit. So what have you guys been up to? Let's catch up. Dave, you want to go first?
Well, let's see.
We're drinking some White Walker Game of Thrones Johnny Walker right now.
Mm-hmm. How timely of you, since the new season's starting soon.
In April, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you on the Game of Thrones calendar watching one episode a night?
No.
That's what I'm doing.
I'm caught up, so...
Doesn't matter. You got to do a rewatch.
So do I need to save this Johnny Walker, White Walker, until the premiere?
I don't know. It could be like the season finale. It could be devastating, and you're going to need that Johnny White Walker.
Possibly. I don't know if I'm going to have it that long, though.
This is good. Dave, what you been up to?
Let's see. What have I been up to?
We haven't recorded since, like, Christmas.
I know, but I did the MSR cast rewind, and yep. So I'm all fucked up in my head.
We haven't recorded with you, is basically what he's saying.
Ah, I see. I'm the odd man out here.
God, I've been recovering from
almost
the end of 2018. That's what I've been doing. Some of that's involved being sick, unfortunately. I think that was more, in part it's, you know, just science because, like, everyone in my house got sick. And so, you know, that happened.
Could have worn a hazmat
but
suit.
I think that it was probably also my body being like, calm the fuck down for a minute.
He's like, fuck it. We call it quits.
Yeah.
Over for the 2018.
I think that kind of sums up a lot of my 2018 is that I just, like, worked and stressed myself out until I was sick over and over, and then I'd stop long enough to get better and then do it all over again, and that was 2018 for me.
Shouldn't do that.
Sounds like
one of my goals for 2019 is to take better care of my psyche.
Yeah, and, there you go. Live longer. Be a little bit more saner.
We all need to do that.
Yeah.
It's hard, though.
But no, went to the movies last week and saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
What?
No spoilers yet.
Love that, man.
Because we're about to talk about that.
Yeah, we will talk about it here in a moment. But I did that. I've been playing Fallout 76. It's been pretty enjoyable. I like it. I know it's like it may be the most contentious game of the year last year.
It's not on my list, I'll tell you that
much. But I knew what I was getting into, though, and you know, I'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But that's, you know, been a lot of my time is doing that. Been watching a couple things. They've added Monty Python back to Netflix again.
Did they?
So I've been watching those. Yeah, The Flying Circus. And I think the movies are on there, too. I've been watching The Flying Circus.
They finally added Holy Grail on there.
Yeah.
What about Kids in the Hall?
Couldn't speak to Kids in the Hall.
That's not a Monty Python thing,
I know that, but I love Kids in the Hall.
I remember that back in the day watching.
I had an idea for an amazing VR game. Do you remember the segment on Kids in the Hall
where squash your head? Crush your head.
That'd be a great fucking VR game, wouldn't it?
How would you play it with your finger? You would need like a way to attach something to your fingers.
Somebody more brilliant than me can come up with is my idea. They can come up with the technology.
Oh, okay. You have the tools, got the talent.
That's right. So, what have you been up to?
I went on vacation. I went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And
I saw some of your photos. I had a good time.
I did have a good time.
How long were you there? Like 8 days?
I was there for 9 days. Then I realized by the sixth day, seven days is enough. Originally when we planned the vacation, we planned a vacation to do half the time in San Francisco, the other half the time in LA the original plan. But as we were getting closer to finalizing our plans, we realized we weren't going to be able to swing both, and we would have been kind of stressed out trying to do everything we wanted to do. So I just said, fuck LA, we'll just stay in San Francisco. So we took our time, and we had a good time in San Francisco. And
where did y'all stay at?
The Hotel Zoe, which is right on the Fisherman's Wharf.
Oh, wow.
It was in the central of everything, like a block away from a little train thingy. What do they call those things?
Trolley,
thank you.
Did you eat Rice-A-Roni when you were there?
I did not eat Rice-A-Roni, but I did go by the cannery.
It's the San Francisco treat, right?
I went by the cannery.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have Rice-A-Ronis there. I had a Irish coffee for the first time in San Francisco.
What's an Irish?
Did you know it's a popular Irish thing? Coffee. Do you know what an Irish coffee is?
It's coffee with booze in it.
Yeah, pretty
Kahlua,
much.
Right?
Yeah, well, no, I forgot what kind of booze is
Irish
in it.
Irish cream?
This place called Buena Vista Cafe, and this was the first place to make, or at least monetize, the Irish coffee, and that's what they're famous for. It wasn't great.
Oh.
I mean, it was all right, but...
I don't like coffee, so...
You don't like
therefore,
coffee?
Therefore, I hate coffee.
What kind of an adult are you?
One that doesn't drink coffee?
You look around the room.
What do you mean, adult?
Adult. Adult is stretching it here. We did Alcatraz, we did the Cartoon Museum, we did the Walt Disney Museum... And then we went to Muir Woods, and I proposed to my girlfriend, and she is now officially my fiance.
What? Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You heard it here first.
Well, not
we
really.
We didn't, but everybody else did.
Yeah, I guess. The metal geek.
He's joining the fraternity of being married.
That's right.
Finally.
And I was I had one job to do, and was get the right ring size. And I did not get the right
ring. I was wondering
size.
About that picture.
I was a one size off. Like she's a size 8, and I got a size 7.
So you got that's.
But
good
we got
though.
Yeah, we got
at least
a.
At least you didn't go the other way.
Well, got it too big.
Got it too big.
Yeah, too big would have been a problem. But we got a resize, so she's wearing it now. It's all good.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we came back, and then started work, and then I almost died in a car accident. So thumbs up.
I really feel like far 2019, like everyone has had like the best intentions about 2019. And it's been like, oh, really? No, fuck all of you. Because like everyone's getting in car wrecks and being sick and like shit's happening. It's like 2018 was a kick in the balls and everyone's like, whew, okay, we're over that. Time to get back to business.
For the second ball.
Yeah, 2019 is like, no, fuck you. It's worse.
We only got the left one before. We're going to get the right one now.
So, I got into a car accident going to work. It was, last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, last week. Last Wednesday. So a week from today as we're recording. And I totaled my car. But I survived. My car did its job, saved my life.
Good.
Or took care of me, at least.
It's always difficult.
I didn't die. No one else got hurt. It's all good news. Got a settlement check to pay for a new car.
Already?
So, yeah. So.
Wow.
That was a total loss. I mean.
Yeah.
What else? It wasn't my fault. I was sandwiched between two cars. It was...
Okay. That makes some things make a little bit more sense. I wasn't going to pry. Because I'm looking at photos and going, how is this not George's fault? So I wasn't going to say
anything. I'll give you the rundown real quick. I'll give you the rundown of what happened. So a car in the far right lane of me got rear-ended, and he got turned around into traffic. And I'm going like 65, and by the time I see him, it's too late.
Was this on the freeway?
Or? Yeah, on 59.
Oh, wow.
And I ran head into him going 65. Stopped the car, all the airbags blew up, and then the guy behind me ran right into the back of my car. So my car was all sandwiched in.
So it wasn't the guy that hit you, it was the guy that hit him's fault.
Right. He got rear-ended and he got shot into traffic.
Yeah.
And
that's hard to figure out who's at fault.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just going off the photo that he posts online, and I'm going, I don't see how this isn't George's fault.
Like, this whole entire time is like, because, damn, like, George is a terrible driver.
Well, no, because George is like, oh no, you know, insurance is going to send a check and like all this kind of stuff, and I'm going, how?
This is your fault. You shouldn't even be driving a car.
He trusts in you, I think is what he's saying.
No, it just has nothing to do with my faith in George or in his abilities to operate a motor vehicle. It has everything to do with, based on the evidence that was in front of me, I didn't see.
Well, I only posted one picture. There's a whole bunch of other pictures.
And that's fair, which is why I didn't say anything about it. I'm like, there's information that I don't have, and it's not really my business, so whatever.
No, it wasn't my fault. It was the guy who got rocketed into traffic. And it all happened so fast, too. It sucked.
Were you by yourself?
Yeah, I was going to work. Okay. So.
Well, at least you're safe and everything is good.
Yeah. Like I said, no one got hurt. I thought I broke my shoulder, but by the time I got out of the car accident and all that stuff, I was fine.
A buddy of mine, actually, I'm not going to mention any names, but he was in an accident last week and broke his clavicle.
What's a clavicle?
It's
your collarbone. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on a scooter and he got hit by a car.
Shit.
Yeah. Luckily, you know, if you're out there
That's all he broke. Jesus Christ. No shit.
If you're out there driving a scooter or a motorcycle, whatever you're driving, make sure you wear a fucking helmet. I'm telling you. Because I saw his helmet.
You know what they say about if you drive a motorcycle, like, it's not a matter of, like, when or how, it's when, right? Like, because you're bound to get into some kind of accident in a motorcycle.
Well, same with cars, too, though.
I guess.
Or airplanes.
It's just, I guess, the risk factor.
Yeah.
Is because you're so much more vulnerable.
True. So. Just protect yourself when you're out there worrying. Most of. Driving.
They need to invent something to where, like, you turn into a giant Michelin man if you're on a motorcycle or something.
Like an airbag for your body?
Yes. There you go. That's a great idea. You know the big things that you can, like, squeeze inside of? The big inflatable things? And then you, like, roll down the hill and all that? Like, yeah. They just need one of those that quick inflates on impact.
They can make it look cool. They can put a motorcycle, like, gang patch on the back of it, you know? Gotta look cool still, you know? Make it black leather, you know what I mean? Yeah. We've seen a couple movies during the holidays. Spider-Man. We saw Mary Poppins Returns. Saw Bumblebee.
I haven't seen that yet. I want to see that.
Bumblebee was okay.
That was one of the things I wanted to see on my list before the year was out, but I didn't get a chance to.
I think the Cybertron part of the movie was amazing.
Yeah. Travis Knight made that movie, right?
Yeah.
Do you know who Travis Knight is?
I do not.
He's like the head founder of Leica. He did Coraline and he did Paranorman and Kubo.
Okay.
So this is his first like live action movie.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So
you
Travis
can definitely
Knight.
Hear there was a lot of emotion into the movie, you know? Yeah.
Like, I hear it's like heavy on the E.T. stuff.
Yeah. It's a girl and her Transformer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not bad. It's not.
It looks good. Like I've heard nothing.
It's one
but good
of the
things.
Best Transformer movies they've made in a long time.
And I'm actually a big fan of Transformers 1. Like it's not great, but I enjoy the fuck out of that movie.
It's right.
The
up
rest
there,
of the
it?
Sequels are. Yeah. You know, you can leave it. But the first one's pretty awesome.
There's no Michael Bay influence in this movie.
No,
I can tell.
Michael Bayisms.
Nope. What else did we see? We're going to go see...
No reusing footage from other films.
Nope. That kind of thing. They didn't do any of that.
Hey, they did do that in the first one, didn't they?
We're going to go see the RBG movie, I think, sometime this weekend, maybe.
On the Basis of Sex.
Wife
with,
is a big fan.
Army Hammer and that other chick.
I don't know. I have no idea who's in it, actually.
God, I forgot her name. Felicity chick. Yeah. The chick from Rogue One.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. She is in it. What else did we see? Voice in the Other Room? Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
Another one I had no interest in seeing.
All right. Well, speaking of movies, you want to get into our list? Yeah, we saw Aquaman.
Oh, I saw Aquaman, too. It was terrible.
It was... Okay. Stop. I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
Have you seen Aquaman yet?
I don't have a lot of interest.
Okay. So it's fun. Like, there's a lot of fun.
Moments. I've heard it's one of the best.
My
DC.
God, there's so many eye roll moments.
It's the best of the worst.
Most literally, yes.
Better than Wonder Woman?
So until the end of Wonder Woman, yeah.
So, like, the problem, I liked Wonder Woman up till, like, the last half of the movie.
Yeah, I
agreed.
But the first half of the movie, the only biggest problem with Wonder Woman is it takes itself too seriously. This movie never takes itself seriously.
And that's what I liked about it.
Is that a good thing?
That's why it's better, yeah.
Okay. I've heard that it is more comic book like than the other DC
times.
It's really beautiful. It's a really eye candy movie. I mean, it's a lot of cool looking stuff in the movie.
You can see James Wan's fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
Like did you ever read Aquaman?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I've read a couple.
So like when they did the New 52, they had the creatures from the deep that were in this movie in the beginning issues. And that's why I was really excited. Because I thought the whole movie was going to be about that, and they were going to use him as a weapon or something, but they never did.
They wrote him, though, right?
Huh?
They wrote some of those people.
Right, because it turns out that's... I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but, you know, it turns out they found What's-Her-Face, and they use it to turn the tide of the war.
So, you see
Ocean Master is creating.
Does this mean that Aquaman is a clone?
A clone?
Yeah, because of his dad.
Who's his dad? Oh, that's right. Holy shit, that is Jango Fett. I didn't put that together until right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess it is.
So Aquaman is a Star Wars clone. The clone trooper. That's all I'm saying.
I guess a highly infected trooper. He looks nothing like the rest of them.
No, he does not.
And he's like a million times bigger.
Jason Momoa has... He has charisma, though. You know, he's a likable person.
Yeah. I just don't like him as Aquaman.
I think he's okay as Aquaman.
I don't think so.
All right.
And
I think the decision to make Aquaman a Pacific Islander is a really good choice.
I think so too. Cool. It has nothing to do with that. I just think, I don't know. He has a dimension of a cardboard.
I don't disagree with you. I don't necessarily think that Jason Momoa is the right Pacific Islander necessarily. I mean, I
should have got The Rock.
Why Rock can't be not? In everything.
He's in goddamn thing else.
True.
Might as fucking well.
They should have put The Rock in this movie. Or they're going to save him for the sequel is what it is.
He's going to be the villain in the next one.
Oh.
Wait, isn't he going to be in a Shazam movie?
Supposedly.
Yeah, he's
not Shazam, but is it Shazam?
Yeah, he's supposed to be the bad guy for Shazam, right?
You might be right. I remember hearing that.
He's supposed to... What's the bad guy for Shazam?
I don't know.
Come
on. I don't think they
show the negative one. He wears all black. He has the long elf ears.
Black Shazam?
Black Adam.
Black Adam.
That's what his name is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, at least, I mean, they casted that a long time ago.
I'm recalling headlines from like 2 years ago now about that.
Right.
That movie comes out this year, right?
Yeah. That's on my list as an anticipated movie to see.
Yeah. I like Zach Levi, so.
I'm not sure. Like, the trailers, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
well, I'm supporting
the trailer can't decide what kind of movie it is.
I'm supporting it because it basically looks like Big, but with, with superheroes.
Big superheroes, yeah. So let's move into our list. You have more on your list, so I'm going to let you start.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I'm going
to
let you go first. So how many do you have on your list?
I made a top 25 list, but I don't have to go through the whole 25.
I didn't even see that many.
I maybe have like 12 on my list, 12 or 13, something like that.
Sure.
So
do you want me to go through them?
Let's go through some of your, your bottom 10.
My bottom 10?
Yeah. We'll do them quickly.
So you want me to start from 10 and go up?
No. from 25 to 15.
Oh, those are like shitty movies.
Let's talk about them real quick.
Well, they're not shitty, but they're like honorable mentions. They're the shittier movies that I saw this year.
Okay. I have a couple runner-ups, too. My runner-ups are more movies that I should have liked more. But
like, basically,
I don't.
Anything after 15 is like stuff that I liked but didn't love.
You want to skip them then?
I can. Or I can just kind of like talk about them really fast.
Just mention them. Yeah,
let's do sure. That. So we'll go from 25 to 15. Does that make sense? So Bomb City, it's a film that was made here in Texas.
That the title should tell you.
What?
Bomb City.
What?
This. What's the name of the movie?
Bomb City.
Exactly.
What is it supposed
it's
to
a
tell
bomb,
me?
Right?
Well, I guess. Okay, whatever. Anyway, it's a movie that was filmed here in Texas. It was why I saw it in the first place. And then it's about like this kid who lives in a small Texas town, and it's during the mid-90s, and it was a true story where this basically all the rednecks in the town and all the punks in the town basically had a giant war, and one kid died in this whole incident.
Spoiler.
Well, it's a true story. No. I mean, come on. Anyway, that was one I really enjoyed. I saw it on Amazon Prime. I thought it was really good. And, you know, like local Texas filmmaker, you know, try to represent. Mom and Dad with Nicolas Cage.
Was that this year?
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah, jeez. 2018. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Ready Player One. I didn't love it, but I had a good time watching it.
That's kind of how I felt. So... I'll, to jump in, because I feel like there's going to be some places well on YouTube.
Yeah,
sure.
My, like, 2018 must have been, like, fucking crazy for me, because, like, I consumed almost no new stuff last year. As I was sitting down to go through and make my list, I'm like, I didn't watch shit this year. I didn't play shit this year. Like, I was busy doing other things, losing my mind.
Ready Player One is definitely on my runner-up list, too.
I don't have a top 10 list. I have the 10 movies that I saw this year.
That's totally fine. Did you see Ready Player One?
So I saw Ready Player One.
And you enjoyed it.
And my experience was basically like what you just described. Yep. I enjoyed the time sitting, watching it in the theater, and then left and forgot all about it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I saw it again on TV, and that's what made me remind me. Like, oh, yeah, I did see that movie.
Yeah.
It's fun parts to it.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a fun watch.
It's a fun ride.
It's a fun popcorn movie.
You know what I really enjoyed about it? It improved the story in the book.
I never finished the book.
I read the book. I didn't really enjoy the book because it was very like you ever had stale popcorn that you found in your house and you said, oh, I shouldn't eat that?
No.
Well, it's like that.
I've always kind of, like, I've not read it, but that was always kind of the impression I had based on conversations with people who had read it.
Yeah.
I felt like
the character development.
Junk food.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole thing. Just seemed like an excuse to see how many pop culture references.
Yeah,
it's exactly what it was.
Which was fun. That was part of the fun of the movie was, hey, look at all the stuff that are going to work in.
Right.
But when you don't have any substance beyond that, then it's like the fucking Walmart commercial.
Mm.
Right?
The Walmart commercial is actually fun.
The Walmart commercial
the first time
is
I saw
fun.
It, I'm like, oh, well, that was really
right.
cool.
No, the Walmart commercial is fun. It's a 30. You've seen this one?
Which one?
The Walmart that's
with all the cars.
With all the cars.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Fun little commercial.
Sure.
It's like, hey, look at all the stuff that you like.
It's good to show you all your pop culture shit at Walmart.
At Walmart, right.
That's right.
But when you do that in a feature movie and there's not much else.
Well, to be fair, he wrote it as a book first.
So
not much of a plot, really.
Yeah, the problem with I had with the book was that none of the character development was good.
Mm-hmm.
All the character development in the movie was better.
Right.
But all the action sequences or like the quests were more interesting in the book than they were in the movie.
Okay.
So take it or leave it, I guess.
I liked some of the characters. The guy who wrote the whole game and everything, like, I thought that was an interesting character, and I liked the guy that played him. I just felt like there wasn't enough.
You get a lot more of them in the book.
Yeah.
So if you... It's a popcorn trash book. You can probably burn through it in a couple of days.
Yeah.
I was surprised how fast I got through it, so... next up, I'm surprised I put it on my list this low because I actually really enjoyed this, but I guess I just forgot about it. There's a movie called Apostle. It's a Netflix original. Gareth Edwards, the guy who directed Raid 1 and Raid 2.
Okay.
I might be pronouncing his name wrong. But the guy who directed the Raid movies.
Okay.
This is his next movie. It takes place in the 1800s, and this... I think it takes place either the early 1800s or the early 1900s. I can't remember the year right now. But this guy's sister goes missing. His father tells him to go look for him, and he has to go to this island, and he goes to this island, and it's all this occulty shit going on.
It turns
out there's a lot more going on than the occult leaders are leading to believe, and like the island might be alive. I don't want to spoil it at all. You should check it out. Dave, you might actually enjoy this.
Yeah, sounds good.
This is like Wicker Man if you turn the violence up to 11.
Sounds good. It's a Netflix original?
Yeah.
Okay.
21, Halloween.
It was on my list.
I liked it.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I liked it. I didn't love it. I think the parts that I liked about it was the music and that one gotcha moment.
Yeah. It was the truest Halloween sequel they've ever had. It's so close to the original, just in style.
Yeah, I guess so.
In tone,
I'd give it to you.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't watched the what's the one that they make fun of the movies?
Honest Trailers.
They did one of that movie this week, and they showed the comparisons of like shots from the original Halloween to this one, but they're just backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. Like the shot where Mike Myers is like watching her Lori in school, and now in this movie, Lori's watching her granddaughter in school. I'm like,
that was done intentionally.
I know. There's sure a lot of shit, but there's a lot of stuff like that. That was, you know, they're paying homage to the original movie. I enjoyed it.
How far? I
wanted Lori to be my grandmother after the movie was over.
I mean, shit. Right? Well, I mean, so, should save your
but
life.
But she had all that time to create this amazing house with a bunch of traps. They weren't that great.
They were pretty good.
I think the idea was to get them in the house so they can burn
trap
them alive.
Them in that room. Yeah.
That was the whole point. I think it was to give the illusion that she has a whole bunch of traps, like Home Alone and traps, but really the whole trap was the house.
It was a horror movie, Home Alone.
It was a horror version of Home Alone. You're right. So next one up was Bodied. It's a YouTube original movie about this kid, a white kid, who's studying about battle rap. And it turns out he's pretty good at battle rapping. And he goes on this journey into what is battle rapping.
Does this have Eminem in it?
No, but he has produced it. He did produce it.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did produce it. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it
quite a bit. What was the name of that movie? 8 Mile or something?
Eight Mile. This is way better than 8 Mile.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know YouTube made original movies.
Oh, they make a whole bunch of movies now.
I know they made TV series and stuff like that, but okay.
If you have YouTube Premium, but you're not going to like this, you hate rap music. So I don't know why I'm trying to sell this on you, but for other people,
I might not be the target demographic.
But you know, there's not really a lot of rap in it.
Yeah.
For a movie about battle rapping, it's really about like, cleverly dissing the person in rhyme.
I've seen some of those battle rap shows; they're fun.
All right, so yeah. I mean, you might dig it. It's a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it.
I'll admit, like as an art form, it's not one that I generally appreciate as far as like something that I get into.
Mm-hmm.
But I can certainly appreciate the talent and the skill that goes into that. I've watched people rap battle live in front of me. Like, I've been sitting in people's living room and I've watched people do it, and it's impressive as hell.
Oh, it's very impressive. Yeah,
very impressive. So I mean, I have an appreciation for the art form. It's just, it doesn't resonate with me.
It's closest to the style of rap that I like, which was 80s rap.
Mm.
So it's more...
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
So basically this kid kind of goes through like the same journey as Walter White did in Breaking Bad, but via rap.
Oh.
There you go.
Should they just call it a breaking rap?
I guess, maybe. But Bodied was the better answer. As Houston filmmaker made it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I might have to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. His first two movies were terrible, but this was pretty good. He does a lot of music videos. He did all the Britney Spears music videos back in the day.
Okay.
Anyway, Mandy is next on my list at number 19.
Still want to see that?
Yeah. So
Mandy is a great movie. I've surely heard a lot of people
streaming now too somewhere, right?
It might be. I'm not sure. I saw it in a sneak preview. As soon as I saw the trailer, I knew I had to see this movie.
Me too. I just haven't yet.
It's literally like a black metal album cover come to life on drugs.
It looked totally psychedelic from
it
the trailer.
It very is. And, you know, I'm sure there's more to it than I'm giving credit about it. I'm sure there's, like, some deeper meaning shit into it. But Nicolas Cage, when he cages it up, he really cages it up. And it's awesome. Next up is Black Klansman.
That's on my list.
New Spike Lee movie. I really enjoyed it. I just didn't love it. I kind of feel like he fumbled the last half of the movie. I didn't really feel like he had... he was going anywhere with it. Number 17, Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
I forgot about that.
I loved that movie.
It was awesome.
I loved that movie.
This movie was so referential and so funny. And it wasn't afraid to make fun of itself. And it wasn't afraid to make fun of anybody along with it. And the Stan Lee cameo in it
was great. I was about to say Stan Lee cameo was... Yeah. I was not expecting that in a DC movie, but it was great.
This was almost my favorite superhero movie this year.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that one. Number 16, Sorry to Bother You. This is streaming on Hulu. So
is it really?
Yeah, if you have a chance, watch it. It is a fucking weird movie.
I like weird movies.
It's about this guy who lives in Oakland, and he's a telemarketer, and he discovers that he has the power to use a white man's voice. And so he goes up the ranks and becomes a really good telemarketer.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I've heard of I saw a trailer or a brief clip or something from this. It was weird as hell.
And the movie just gets way weirder than you ever expected. Like, when you think it's weird, it gets weirder.
It got weird, but it was funny. Like, it was...
Oh, yeah. So it gets past the point where it's no longer funny. It's just like, what the fuck am I watching?
That's great.
Yeah. So if you just want to watch something fucking weird and laugh at some shit, check it out. Armie Hammer's in it, and he's great as a CEO cokehead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And,
he was born to play.
Yeah. That was my number 16. And rounding it up at the number 15, Ant-Man and the Wasp, probably my second favorite superhero movie.
That was my third favorite Marvel superhero movie this year. That was number...
I never got a chance to see that one.
You didn't see Ant-Man?
That was number 11.
So it's on Netflix now, I think.
It's number 10 for me. I don't think it's on Netflix yet.
It's not?
No. They just added Black Panther now, and then Infinity War is on there, but I don't think...
Oh, that means it'll be available eventually.
Soon, yeah.
So I can continue going.
Let's do it.
All right. So next, Avengers Infinity War is number 14 for me.
It's higher on my list.
Well, because you're crazy.
It's number 4 on my list.
Number 4?
Yeah.
Wow.
I liked
you
must Infinity
have really
War
really liked it.
Well, I didn't see as many movies as you, but...
Okay.
Did you see Infinity War?
Yeah, I did.
Is it on your list at all?
Well, my list, like I said,
it's
is
the movies
just the movies
seen.
That I saw.
Okay. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it.
I mean, there's some memorable stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like the part where Thor meets Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty great.
Yeah. There's great stuff in it. It's just the whole thing felt hollow to me at the end.
It felt very surface level. Like, we need to get this shit out so we can get to the end.
Yeah. I think that, and I've talked about this on here before, I think that we don't have a perfect, like, we don't know completely how they're going to resolve it, but we have some pretty good ideas, and we know that certain people are coming back, and we know all the, because we know all of these things.
Based on a certain trailer, we know someone ain't dead.
It feels
Spider-Man
like none of the deaths matter. I wasn't devastated at the end of it.
But
neither was I.
So if you take that knowledge out of it, though, and just watch the movie.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. And, like, those deaths... Like, for someone who didn't know about the future movies, it's pretty devastating.
It was it was cool to see all those characters combined into one movie. It's like the back in the 80s and 90s when it was like a big deal. Marvel would put their, you know, they would do once a year. They do like these amazing series where all the characters would come together. Mm-hmm. And that's what it felt like to me. And I think they did a good job of combining them. And not just throwing him in there because we have to throw this character, but each character had a place in the movie, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I just, like, not that it was supposed to, but I didn't feel as, like, I didn't feel the same excitement about this as, like, the first Avengers movie.
Right.
And it's most like, definitely. I want to feel, no, yeah, yeah. I want to feel
when I saw the first
excited.
Avengers movie, it's like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I maybe have the superhero comic book movie fatigue
going on.
And
see, I thought that too until I saw a certain movie. But yeah, I'll talk about
too.
That when
I think,
get there.
I think we're probably
I think we're all in agreement on that
one.
Yeah.
Keep on going.
You Were Never Really Here is my number 13. Never, it's a Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Where he's a hitman or... He's not really a hitman.
He's a good guy, but he's
sort of
like...
He's a guy who can't really cope well in the real world, so he copes the world with violence. And this movie's really interesting because I like the plot and I like the way it's executed. Problem I had with it is that it was marketed poorly. It was marketed as if it was like a revenge hitman thriller movie, right. And it's not. All of the action stuff you thought you would see are not in the movie. It's always the before or after.
Interesting.
So I really liked it. It's on Amazon Prime. I bought it when the movie came out. And I really
What's it called again?
You Were Never Really Here. It's a really good movie. And you know, if you're looking for a nice, sad movie to watch, then you can watch that.
All right.
Number 12, Game Night. Probably the best comedy of the year.
I agree on that one.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
It was the one where Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams, and they're playing Game Night, and they think that they're...
Okay.
They think they're playing a game, but it turns out it's a lot more than just a game. Okay. But then they start to wonder, is it really just the game?
Yep. Very Three's Company premise.
It's funny.
Combined with, like...
Violence.
I think what I really liked about it, they took a high Hollywood comedy and put some high budget and some fun aspect to it. Mm-hmm. And they kept it funny. Like, they didn't phone it in.
I agree on that one. I forgot about that. But, yeah, I really had a good time watching that movie.
And number 11 was Isle of Dogs.
Haven't seen it yet.
It was a great movie. I enjoy it. I'm a Wes Anderson fan, so I'm probably
I like
a little
Wes
biased.
Anderson too. It's strange, I'm sure.
It's not, to me, it's not strange. That movie got a lot of bad rap because they were saying it was insensitive to Japanese culture.
Oh, right. Insensitive to dogs, right?
No, because the only people who speak English are the dogs and everyone else speaks Japanese. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I really like it. I think Wes Anderson is a very talented art director and filmmaker. And it's the voice casting is awesome. It has Bryan Cranston. Thank you.
Okay.
He's pretty good in it. And Edward Norton's funny.
Hmm. I'm going to have to watch that when it comes like on some streaming.
And now we finally made it to my number 10.
Number 10. Oh.
Number 10, Overlord.
Really wanted to
yes.
see this one. I tried to go with my brother-in-law and I were going to try to arrange a trip. But I think it was already out of theaters by the time.
It's Wolfenstein, the movie.
I know. That's why I want
totally
to see it.
It totally is.
Basically, it's like a level of Wolfenstein, mm-hmm. really, if you want to break it down.
Overlord was actually my number 10 as well.
Hey, check it out.
Yep.
Twinsies.
That's right. I love that movie. It was so good.
It was
comes out on Blu-ray soon. I'm actually debating to pick it up, too.
It's not a overly complicated movie, Dave. It's a very meat and potatoes,
right,
what you see
yeah.
was what you get.
Yeah, I understand that.
I've heard that
as far as that goes, it's quite good.
It's like a Call of Duty level.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. It's what it is. Except my biggest beef is, like, there's so many moments where they could have added more horror or more frightening moments, and they didn't push the envelope enough.
Okay.
And also, they missed the mark by not releasing this movie on Halloween.
Hmm. Came out the week after, didn't
it? Came
it?
Out, or like, the month, after? Like, it came out, like, a few weeks after Halloween. Okay. So that's why I think it didn't do very well in the box office, in my opinion.
I agree. I think it was a really, really fun movie.
Yeah, it's a tight script. All the characters... You know exactly what they want and what they're going to do.
It was totally Castle Wolfenstein, the movie. It really was.
And, you know. And
the only thing they had to do was call him BJ Blazkowicz.
And there was a moment where you, like, cared about a certain character, if they're going to live or not.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, this is pretty 101 filmmaking action film.
Yep.
All right, so number 9, A Quiet Place.
on my list as well.
It's a great movie.
It would be higher on my list, but probably because I only saw a few movies.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it quite a bit.
I liked this more than I thought I was going to. I saw the trailer. I was like,
me too.
I was like, all right, cool. So no one talks throughout the movie. I got it. I don't need to see this movie. But Catherine really wanted to see it, and we saw it, and we loved it. So there's that. And now they're going to make like four other sequels.
They're going to kill it.
Number eight, Searching.
I haven't seen that yet. I want to.
If you haven't seen Searching, you need to see Searching.
I haven't even heard of that.
So
John Cho, right?
John Cho plays a dad looking for his missing daughter.
And now,
it sounds like a very bland description, but the whole movie takes place via computer screen or movie screen or video screen or cell phone screen. So it's called like a screen life movie is what it's called.
I don't know if I'm up for that.
No, it sounds terrible. Trust me. When I heard this description, I was like, I'm going to hate this. The first 10 minutes...
It sounds too gimmicky able to be something that you
can
pull
really
off.
They really revolutionize a way of storytelling with this. The first like 5 minutes of this movie had me almost crying Up. It's that emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. I wouldn't praise this movie this much if I didn't think it was good. You should check it out. I rented it on Amazon for $4.99. If you get a chance, rent it or watch it. You'll love it. Especially since you have kids. I think you'll empathize with this a little bit more. It's pretty great.
Okay.
And there's some actors in there that are not so great, but just look past that if you can. But anyway, moving on. Number seven. Probably should have been a little bit higher on my list, but there's some other stuff like taking up its place. Paddington 2.
What?
What? What?
You know, doing research of looking at other people's lists.
What?
This is on a lot of people's lists.
It's an amazing movie. Did you not
see? I can't even watch the trailers for those.
Did you see Paddington 1?
No.
Oh my god, it's so good.
The trailers are bad. And
I'm pretty sure I talked about this last year. Did I not say Paddington 1 was great?
I don't remember.
You probably did, but we just cleared you out.
I can't even watch the trailers for those movies. They're so bad.
Oh, it's so good. It's wholesome and family fun friendly.
Super British.
Very British. But my god, it's so good and it's funny. There's some like good Wes Anderson flair. There's actually really good filmmaking in it. I'm kind of sad that the director is not coming back for a third one, but they're still making a third one. But my god, Paddington 2 is awesome. I've watched this movie 3 times already. Every time it's on TV.
Better than Winnie the Pooh?
Oh yeah, way better than Winnie the Pooh.
Or was it Christopher Robin?
Christopher Robin. Yeah. I wanted to like Christopher Robin.
I wanted to like it too.
Yeah,
I didn't.
It failed.
Yeah.
It was the bad version of Hook, is basically what Christopher Robin was. Anyway, moving on. Number six, probably my favorite horror movie of this year, of any year, really, Hereditary.
Have not seen this yet.
Yeah, I need to see it.
I need to.
On Amazon Prime, go check it out.
Is it?
Yeah. It's haunting. It's Catherine didn't sleep for like 3 days after we watched this movie.
And she's still going
to
marry you.
And she was so mad at me that I took her to this movie. She hated it. God, she could not bear this movie. And all I could think about is how much I loved it after the movie. there are some certain scenes in there that will just stay with you forever. Yeah, it's truly disgusting and terrifying at moments, but also very poignant and drama filled, and like you feel for this family that's going through this problem.
All right, moving on.
Number five, the movie that Venom wishes it was. It's called Upgrade.
I want to see Upgrade very badly.
It was so good. I bought it as soon as it came out on Blu-ray because I missed it in theaters, and I like the director.
Should share the love then.
I can let you borrow it.
Yeah,
it's not a problem. The actor in Saw 1, or the writer and actor of Saw 1, wrote and directed this movie, if that makes any sense.
Isn't it a Blumhouse movie?
I think so.
It
might be. Anyway, so basically this guy, he gets crippled in a car accident, puts some AI in his brain, and the AI basically allows him to not be crippled anymore, and he goes to seek revenge for the death of his wife.
I think I saw a trailer for this.
Awesome.
It could have been you. This was last week.
I guess, yeah. I mean, if AI was that good. You need to check it out.
I want to see this badly. Yeah.
Number four, Blindspotting. It was an amazing movie.
Blindspotting.
Never yeah. Heard of this. One of the main actors from Hamilton, the musical, wrote this movie a while back, and he's the main star and actor of the film. Basically, it's about this guy who just got out of prison. He's on parole. He's on his last 24 hours of his parole, and he's just trying to survive the day without messing up his parole. And it's in Oakland, and it's about him and his friend dealing with the gentrification of Oakland. It's very poignant. Wow. It has a lot to say. There are some rap moments in it, because that's what he does when he's bored or if he wants to express his thoughts. He will just free flow. And there's this moment at the end of the movie where he catches up with somebody that's affected him in his life really badly. And he, instead of yells at him, he starts to rap at him and he like loses his shit. It's really good. I liked it quite a bit.
What's your number? We're on number three now, right?
That was number four. So yes, number three, Mission Impossible Fallout.
I was gonna guess that as your number two.
Oh yeah, it was close to being my number two, but my number two. Well, Mission Impossible is great.
I agree. I thought it was amazing. I rented it on Redbox. Finally,
I saw it in theaters. I know. And then I bought it immediately when it came out.
Such a great movie.
It's great. Tom Cruise is gonna kill himself one day. That's all. Yes. I'm guaranteeing.
And I don't really like Tom Cruise as an actor, but he's great in these Mission Impossible movies. He really is.
McQuarrie, the writer-director, they seem to have a really good rapport. They seem to really work well with each other, which makes me sad because I liked the Brad Bird Ghost Protocol one a little more. But
that was
I think that was the fourth one.
Fourth one? This is number five or six.
I think that was the last one I saw.
Six? Six
thought,
or five?
I thought this was the fifth one.
It could be.
Because I think Ghost Protocol was the one where they introduced
Ghost
Simon
Protocol,
Pegg,
Rogue
right?
Nation, and then this one.
This is the third movie with Simon Pegg.
That's what I say. So Ghost.
This is the Ghost Protocol movie with Simon Pegg.
Fuck,
I'm missing something.
Because Mission Impossible 3 was J.J. Abrams.
Right.
Mission Impossible 4 was Brad Bird. Mission Impossible 5 was McQuarrie's first one, and this is Mission Impossible 6.
Okay. I got it.
And then they're going to do two more, and they're filming them back to back.
Jesus.
Yeah, that comes out 21 and 22. 2022. So yeah, that was my number three. It's a great movie. It's probably the best action film of the year.
I agree.
Yeah,
it was great.
What's great about it is like those stunts are real. Like,
yeah,
they're not fake stunts.
There's a part where you could see where he was. I think the part where he's jumping
from one building to the other.
Yeah, and he breaks something.
Yeah, so
it happens in real life.
He really breaks his ankle, and he still runs on it enough to get off camera, and that's the shot they use in the movie, which is great.
Very Jackie Chan of them.
Yeah, very Jackie Chan, I guess, yeah.
It's all the what are the flea bond or whatever he is?
The halo jump. The halo jump in the beginning of the movie, which is very dangerous that they did. They really did it. It's not green screen. It's not like another skydiver. Tom Cruise.
You know what I'm talking about? Whatever the
Yes, I know
the
exactly what you're talking
whatever,
about.
Whatever he gets from the aliens.
The what?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, you're talking about the Scientology thing. Yeah, well, he's weird.
Yes.
So, yeah, whatever. Everyone's allowed to have their weirdness, I guess. my number two, Annihilation.
I have not seen that.
God, it's so good.
That's Natalie Portman, right?
Yeah, Natalie Portman. The guy who directed Ex Machina made this one.
I got bored of Ex Machina.
Really?
Yeah.
God, Ex Machina is so good.
I liked Ex Machina a lot until the very end.
Really? Because I loved the ending.
I thought
the ending leaves you with so many questions, like what's going to happen.
I mean, there yes, it does, but I didn't care by that point.
I was truly interested, but Annihilation. I've heard people call it like a sci-fi like allegory to depression, which I can agree with. You know, having gone through depression myself before, and so on and so forth. It's just a great movie. Great science fiction movie.
I thought you meant like the Great Depression. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I lived through the Great Depression, Carrie.
In the 20s?
Did you not know this?
I didn't know it.
Well, now
Don't
you know.
Don't worry, guys. There's another one coming.
That's true. Not too long from now.
Wow.
20s are right around the corner.
So anyway, I really liked it. There's those one specific, or there's a few specific scenes that really stick out to me, but the most creepy one is that there's a bear in the movie that's has like half human, half bear
And is it Man Bear Pig?
No, it's not Man Bear Pig. But this thing screams like a human to like lure people close to it, and it kills you. It's disturbing. One of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Where this movie loses a lot of people is the ending, but I really like the ending. So
okay,
there's that.
I'm going to guess your number one. It's what? Probably my number one.
It's probably everybody's number
one. Your number one. It's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
It's not Spider-Man.
Shut up.
It's not Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your number one?
Spider-Man.
I'm like, what else could it be?
Yeah, no, it was Spider-Man, of course. The moment I saw it, I was like, yeah, I love this movie.
It's a brilliant piece of filmmaking history, a brilliant piece of animation history.
Yeah, totally. They invented a new way of animating this movie.
It's an amazing, spectacular, friendly neighborhood movie.
I'm trying
to think of other Spider-Man adjectives.
I felt like while I was watching it, and this is my number one as well. If I was to pick a number one, this would be it. And
it's the most memorable movie of the year, too, probably.
I don't know if it's just because it's the most recent thing I've seen, but I don't think it is because I kept thinking about it.
I want to go see it again.
And I felt while I was watching it, I was excited. I was into it. I was enjoying it. But on top of all of that, I'm sitting there watching it going, this is an amazing...
I hate all this hip-hop music.
No, not at all. It didn't bother me at all. It didn't bother me in the slightest.
I'm glad it didn't bother you. I really liked the soundtrack.
I thought the soundtrack was cool and it worked really well with it.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there the whole time and I'm thinking, while I'm watching it, this is a game-changing movie.
This is a movie
that changes how movies
are made. Sony's now putting in a patent for this animation process that they made for this movie.
Really?
So when they make further movies, they'll...
Well, speaking of the music real quick, we'll go on a little tangent, but it gives writing credit to one of my favorite musicians of all time.
Post Malone.
No, not Post Malone. Michael Nesmith from the Monkees.
Really? What song?
They played part of Mary Mary from Run DMC.
And
he wrote the song, the Monkees song. So
I did not catch that.
I think it was the best superhero movie of this year.
Easily.
It's probably the best superhero movie in a long while.
I wish there was more Spider-Ham, though.
No.
I felt like the amount of Spider-Ham was appropriate.
I think we got just the right amount.
I don't know. I could have used a little bit more.
If I had more Spider-Ham, I'd be like, God damn, there's a lot of Spider-Ham in this movie.
But just everything about the plot, the story, everything was just perfect.
And Morales is like... emotional journey through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like it felt like it wasn't incredibly deep, but it resonated though.
It felt like reading a comic book. It felt like reading a comic book.
Oh man,
book.
So as soon as I saw this movie, I went out and bought the collected edition. Like I wanted to read more. I wanted to spend more time with
the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. No, the Miles Morales, okay. The ultimate collection of Miles Morales. Where I bought that immediately as soon as it came out.
The Bendis version?
Yeah. It's the only one.
They just brought him back. Last month.
Oh, really?
A series now.
I have not read any of the new stuff. I'm just reading the old one now.
Yeah,
and it's the only reason I did that because I wanted to spend more time with that character because I loved how wholesome he was and like he's just a good kid and he's funny and he's like Peter Parker, but then he's not like Peter Parker, and I think that's what's really interesting. And their old Peter Parker. Way more interesting than any other Peter Parker I've ever remembered.
Jake Johnson was great in that role. He's
most
perfect.
Definitely.
In the
fat Peter Parker is my favorite Peter Parker.
brief aside, for when next time you're bored, have a couple minutes to kill or something, go on IMDb and read the bad reviews of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
There's bad reviews?
Yes, there are. Go read them.
What are they? What does it say?
Fucking dumb.
Those people need to be called out.
No, they're fucking dumb. All the ones that I read, I'm like, this person, like, I'm not that knowledgeable about comic books. I mean, I know some, but I'm not super knowledgeable. These are people talking with authority out of complete fucking ignorance. Like, people who, it sounds like, were not even aware that there was a Miles Morales Spider-Man character.
Oh, God.
Where it's like, why is Spider-Man black?
Yes. That shit.
Really?
There's a lot of that shit.
Really?
Yeah, what's with the PC diversity SJW crowd, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what?
Jeez.
What? Miles Morales was introduced in like 2001.
Right, I know.
A while ago,
like this isn't new.
And that was
new.
Like when he wasn't popular.
Yeah.
Just
I loved Ultimate Spider-Man. It was a great series.
I tried reading Ultimate Spider-Man, and then they changed the title, and it became Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then that's when it got lost in the shuffle.
Marvel likes to fuck with you that way.
Yeah, I got lost in the shuffle, and I just never picked it up. I never kept reading.
Marvel likes to reboot shit all the time.
Yeah.
Renumber shit.
So...
Do you like this series? Here's number one again. Wait a minute. What happened to this version of it?
Yeah, what happened? It's hard to continue a story. It is what it is.
I remember y'all talking about this when y'all had seen it. I hadn't seen it yet. But the the Japanese
chick
spider.
The anime Spider-Man? Yeah.
The anime spider girl, whatever. Yeah. I have no fucking idea either. What that's about.
I think she was made recently, like for the comics.
Yeah, she was in the one of the newer Spider-Verse series that are out
like,
there.
Like, there's another Marvel event called The Edge of the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when she was kind of introduced.
Yeah,
okay, my other question was the Nicolas Cage one.
Yep.
Spider-Man Noir.
Spider-Man Noir.
Mm-hmm. Is that a thing?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah.
Because I want that. Because that character was fucking awesome.
So, it originally was like they did a whole noir series. Like,
that's right. That's right. Okay.
There was the Daredevil noir.
That's right. I remember that
if
they did that.
There's a video game that came out on the last generation. It was a Spider-Man game. I can't think of the name of it right now, but
it's called Spider-Verse.
Shattered Dimensions.
Shattered Dimensions.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Spider-Man Noir was one of the playable characters in it, and it turned into this whole noir level.
I loved that character.
Awesome.
If you played the
Lego Marvel
Superhero 2, there's a whole noir level too.
Okay.
So it started out as this is kind of a cool gimmick. We'll do this for all our characters for about a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spider-Man Noir was the most popular out of that series.
Oh, yeah.
And then they decided to create him into a character.
Cool. I liked that character a lot.
I think Nicolas Cage
is great.
Perfect for it. I like to burn the match down to my fingers so I can feel something.
So Nicolas Cage got to play Spider-Man and Superman this year.
In the same year. He should just do voice acting he should do. He pays all the bills.
So I'm going to go through some of the other movies that you didn't touch upon.
Oh, man, some movies.
You missed some that are on my list. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I have not seen this yet.
You will dig this.
Want to see this. However, I've been like a little adamant because I hear the best segment's the first segment.
The best segment is definitely the first segment.
And then it all goes downhill from there.
It doesn't go downhill, it changes. It's an anthology.
Right, I know that.
So but I wish the main character in the first story is Buster Scruggs, and if they had brought him along the whole anthology between interstitial between each story,
mm-hmm.
it would have made more sense, I think.
Okay.
But it's a great...
It's on my list. I've been wanting to see this, so...
And everybody's like all into Red Dead Redemption right now.
Yeah,
so,
I love the Coen brothers. The Coen brothers are super funny.
Something you guys didn't mention was Heavy Trip.
I didn't get a chance to see it yet.
Oh, I love Heavy Trip.
Because we were supposed to go together... as a group, and then you said, no, I don't want to drive all out there for $20. I just watch it at home.
I did watch it at home.
Oh, yeah, I know you did. Cheapskate.
We paid for it.
Whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, I want to see
it. You can still pay for it.
Yeah, I plan
on it. It's on Blu-ray now. You can order from Amazon.
I'm just going to rent it from Vudu.
I loved Heavy Trip. It was a great comedy. Yeah, it's a great comedy.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, man, this is definitely something Carrie's going to enjoy.
It's totally my style. A Finnish death metal comedy. I mean, come on.
Right on.
You didn't talk about Bad Times at the El Royale.
I did not enjoy it.
You didn't enjoy it?
I saw it, right? I did. I saw it a week before it came out. I had
That's right. You went to a preview.
Yeah, I went to a pre-screening.
I went. That was my birthday movie this year.
I
liked it a lot.
I like the first half of the movie, and then...
It was Drew Goddard's attempt at doing a Tarantino movie.
I guess. I mean, this movie's 1 hour too long.
It was long, yeah.
It's 3 hours long.
It wasn't that long.
It's 2 hours and 48 minutes.
Okay, maybe it was.
It's 1 hour too long. If they would have cut out the whole Chris Hemsworth backstory, I think this movie probably would have been a little bit tighter. But
then he wouldn't have been walking around without a shirt.
But he was at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert. My problem with this movie is that it doesn't really have anything to say. It's just very surface level, let's just get all these weird people in a room and that's it. Like,
so Tarantino.
Yeah, but at least Tarantino, there's something to say and there's done stylistically. Here, it was just kind of like, let me copy somebody. I wanted something more. I wanted more Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
That style of ending, and I didn't get that. And I think that's why I was upset when I saw the movie. I might give it another try when it comes out on TV or if I rent it or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't love it.
Did anybody mention Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he was on his.
It was on my number 15 or 14.
Deadpool 2.
That came out this year.
Man, I didn't see it.
I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked a couple parts in it a lot, like X-Force dying immediately. Hilarious.
Yeah, so you have not seen Deadpool 2 yet?
Mm-mm.
Spoiler alert, X-Force dies.
Okay.
I'll let you borrow it if you want to see it.
Okay.
You also, did you get Once Upon a Time in Deadpool 2 or whatever?
We saw it in the theater.
Oh, it came out on Blu-ray. I was wondering.
Did it really?
Yeah, if you were going to buy it, I was going to borrow it from you. I just wanted to see the difference.
They'll probably do some super duper edition where they put it all together.
Hmm.
You know they
I'm
will.
Good. I don't need to see it that bad.
Nobody mentioned Black Panther?
I didn't like that movie.
I know. We've talked about that before.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot. I mean, it's not my favorite superhero movie of the year, but it was definitely good.
I think it has cultural significance. That's where the buck stops.
I'm going to say something I know you're probably not going to like.
Sure.
Mary Poppins Returns.
Okay. I haven't seen the movie, I can't say anything about the movie. I listened to the soundtrack on Spotify.
So here's the thing. The first time I saw it, I've only seen it once, but when I was watching it, I'm like, this does not stick up with the first original Mary Poppins movie.
I don't
like
Mary Poppins, the original.
Well, I love Mary Poppins. It's one of my go-to as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Fucking
what's-his-face?
The guy that... Dick Van Dyke. Chimney sweeper guy.
Yeah. This movie, it's not as good as the original. I will say that right off the bat. But there is definitely some amazing elements to it. I need to watch it again, and I'll probably be more into it because I won't be as surprised at what's going on.
Do they mix live action with animation again?
They do.
Yeah, of course they do.
A few times. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's definitely the same character as Mary Poppins is Mary Poppins, and I think they handled it beautifully.
Okay.
It's a really
I listened
fun
to the
movie.
Soundtrack on Spotify because I was curious and was not a fan of any of the music.
I could see the music not hitting if you listen to it out of context. So maybe seeing the movie might be a little bit better for
you. I might check
was
it
the
out.
Music done by anyone noteworthy?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I don't think he wrote it, did he?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure he was a writer on the.
He was involved. I mean, he was one of the main characters, but.
Yeah, I'm sure he was involved in the writing process. At least I thought it was in the credits, but I could be wrong.
Another movie nobody mentioned is something that I really enjoyed was Bohemian Rhapsody.
I didn't care to see it.
I would like to see it, but I just haven't.
It's a great
I'm not
biopic.
Like dying to
biopic,
see it, but I would see it.
It just looks like a run of the mill biopic.
It's like
Walk Hard, but with Bohemian Rhapsody.
My favorite thing about this movie is when the first time we saw it was at the AMC, the Dolby Theater. So when they recreate Live Aid, right?
Uh-huh.
And you could feel the bass drum in the seat.
Cool.
I was like, okay, that's great. Like I'm having a massage by Queen, you know? It was good. It's not, they definitely take liberties on the story and everything, but... I don't know if it was Golden Globe worthy to win Best Drama, but it's a fun movie.
Fun fact about the Golden Globes. You know how many people are in the Hollywood Foreign Press?
10.
Yeah.
Am I right?
No, you're right.
I was joking.
It's like a small number. It's,
really?
Yeah, it's not very large at all compared to the Oscars. And the Hollywood Foreign Press, they just want famous people at their event. So that's why all these... popular movies get nominated.
I mean, I don't think Bohemian Rhapsody is a Oscar worthy movie.
I don't think so either.
But I don't.
It doesn't look like it.
I don't watch a lot of the Oscar worthy movies, anyways. I just don't see them. So
I don't give a shit about awards because it's all politics. I know too much about what goes on behind the scenes at those things.
Yeah.
I know it has nothing to do with artistic merit or that kind of shit.
Sometimes,
so I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't care about Hollywood patting itself on the back for fake reasons. So I'll check in with the award shows after they happen, and just
that's what I usually do too.
What happened,
who wins and all that kind of stuff. I do have some runner ups. These are more should have liked more if they were better movies.
Oh.
So there's that's why they're on my runner up sort of list. I'm gonna start with Solo.
I knew that was gonna be the first one you said.
Yeah.
I was so close to putting that on my list, but
I like it, but it could have been better.
Like I had a fun time watching it in theaters.
Yeah.
But then after a couple of days after the movie theater, I was like thinking to myself, now why didn't I like this part? And why didn't I like that part? And the hugest eye roll of the year has to go to
what's your name? Yeah.
So Han Solo.
That was fucking dumb.
Are you by yourself? Yes. Okay, your last name is Solo.
That was dumb.
Stupid. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
The
fact that they spent over $400 million making that movie is ridiculous.
Jesus, really?
Well, you got to think, they made two versions of this movie.
It's true.
I was thinking about this the other day. I think I was talking to my wife about it the other day about, I want to see the Lord and Miller version of this movie.
Mm-hmm. It's never going to happen.
I know it's never going to happen. I know it's not.
I love Christopher Lord and
but
Miller, whatever the
like,
name is.
Phil Lord, Chris Miller.
There you go.
I feel like, because I enjoyed this movie as well. I had fun watching it, and it felt Star Wars-y enough.
At times. Yeah.
You know, and it felt like it was in the world and all that kind of stuff. It was an enjoyable movie. I liked it.
Also, Phil Lord and Chris Miller were the guys behind Spider-Man. Like, they were the major producers the main – they didn't write the script, but they were came up with the story idea to kind of make it all congeal together. And if they can make that fucking work – and they made Lego Movie work.
Yes. Right. That impressed the shit out of me. That you like
just give them the chance.
That the Lego movie that transcended itself and became a movie about something.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck just happened?
It was a movie that was an ad, and it was about children's play and imagination and feelings. And then you're like, why am I feeling something for a movie about advertisement?
And there's a sequel coming out in a few months.
And that looks terrible.
Well,
does it not look terrible to you? To me, it looks terrible.
You're still going to see it, though, I'm sure.
Maybe. I don't know. You know, they're Lord and Miller are not associated with that, right?
I did not.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, they did the one and they're done. Like, they didn't want to do a sequel, but they need to make a sequel. Yeah. So even Lego Batman was surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best Batman movie I've seen in a long time.
But Lord Miller weren't a part of Lego Batman either, so.
Nope.
But I want to see what their vision of this movie was.
I know. Because I'm interested to see what pissed off Kathleen Kennedy. And what's that other guy? His son wrote the movie for Solo.
Oh, Kasdan?
Kasdan, yeah. They Lawrence pissed Kasdan? Him off so bad.
No, Jake Kasdan, right?
Well, Jake Kasdan's the son.
Right,
Lawrence
Kasdan, thank you. Yeah, I don't know what he did to what they did to piss them off so bad. Something. I guess. Or maybe they were just drunk every day on set. I don't know.
I'd be curious to see the Lord Miller version. I'd also be curious to just watch a Ron Howard version.
Yeah.
That was like just that.
But Ron Howard had to come in and like run. Like he had to do what was needed.
I think the movie feels like it.
It does, yeah. It feels rushed. It doesn't feel like they took time to give us a reason why this movie was made in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of feels, hey, you remember that moment and they talked about in A New Hope? Here it is.
Now, I will say this, though. Like, the highlight of the movie for me was Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian.
Most definitely.
God,
yes.
he killed it.
So good in that role.
Killed it.
It sucks that it was like so good, and yet the movie's not going to ever make a sequel.
They should do a standalone Lando movie.
I don't think there's enough to Lando to be a standalone movie.
Maybe they could make enough about Lando to be a standalone movie.
They did some Lando books back in the 70s.
Well, they did some Lando comics recently, and they weren't very good.
They did.
I don't know. I just feel like there's so much they could have done about the Han Solo character to make us care and feel for him that they just didn't do. And Alden Ehrenreich, he was pretty good.
I think he did a good job.
He was better than I expected him to be.
I mean,
I'll give
it's
him that.
Really big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And he did a good job of being Harrison Ford without emulating him exactly.
Right.
I wish his voice was a little bit lower register. That's what kept bugging me.
He was younger, though.
But
well,
not by that much.
Yeah, not by much.
Because I could have gone with that if he was like 15-year-old.
Well,
because
you got to think like 20 years later, New Hope start happened. Or is it 10 years later?
It's only
New
10
Hope.
Years away from New Hope. He needs to already be kind of gruff. And,
right.
You know, and he
there
wasn't.
There's been a lot of drinking going on between those years.
There was a lot of Sabacc playing between.
Spend some time in those opium droid places.
Yeah, I otherwise liked him pretty well. I felt like he did a better job than I expected him to. It was, but I kept thinking through the whole movie, he doesn't sound like Han Solo. Mm. And I get that, like, he's never
going to. It's hard to do that.
Right. I get that. But a voice in a little bit lower register probably would have solved it for me.
All right. I can see that.
So let's move on. We've already sort of, we touched upon Bumblebee. We touched upon Ready Player One. The last two movies that I should have liked more, but I didn't, are both Disney movies.
Uh-oh. Hey, now.
Incredibles 2 and Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I saw one of those.
Which one did you see? I saw both. I saw Ralph.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Incredibles.
They were both decent movies.
Yeah.
But they weren't great.
No. Incredibles 2 should have been way better than what it was.
Exactly.
I don't know what it was. It's kind of like they didn't really have a good story to tell. And they just needed to make this.
I feel like they were forced into making this movie. I wish they didn't pick it up right after the first movie. I wish there was like time between something.
Right.
I wish
it would have been more about, like, I don't know, Jack-Jack being an adolescent.
Jack-Jack is sort of an annoying character.
I don't know. The raccoon fight's pretty great.
He's still annoying. They played him up way too much. He's a kid, he's a baby, whatever. Yeah. But
kids like it. I really like Screenslaver until you saw the villain was a mile away.
Yep.
They really should have kept it separate. And it should have been like this vindictive person who hated superheroes.
It was a very predictable movie.
Yeah.
Same
thing with
the animation was great and all that. Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet was not good. There was fun moments in it, but it was not a good movie.
Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet should have been what that Frozen animation winter, that little short movie they made, that 30-minute short.
Where
they,
she has a cold. Like
is that what it was?
That what you're talking about?
I don't remember. It came out in front of Coco.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did see that.
She, like, keeps sneezing and makes little snowmen.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, like, basically, it was a funny joke. In Frozen, right? It was just like one little kitsch. That was what Ralph was. The whole catch was, how can we get these Disney princesses in a movie? And it makes sense.
The best part of that movie, which is when they go to, well, of course, you know, they're in the internet. They go to the Disney part where they have all the different Disney synergy all going around and the princesses and being chased by the stormtroopers and stuff. I wish there was more of that. That was cool because they're poking fun at themselves a lot.
Basically, like the emoji movie.
This was a better version of the emoji movie. This was a watchable version of the emoji movie.
I did not see the emoji movie.
The emoji movie's terrible.
Oh my God, it's bad. I sat through it with my youngest one, like, early Saturday morning or something. She wanted to watch it.
You're a better man than me.
Oh, I watched it with Catherine on television.
It's painful.
You're a better man than me, too.
It was bad.
Well, there's our movies for 2018.
Don't watch Wreck-It Ralph, kids.
Ignore Dave altogether. That's fine.
Okay, what else you got? I'm sorry.
I actually had two movies on my list that haven't been mentioned so far.
What? Really?
One of them's kind of... it wasn't a theater release. It was a Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, what was it?
The Christmas Chronicle.
Oh.
What?
The Kurt Russell.
The Kurt Russell.
Santa
did
Claus
you watch
movie.
It?
I did not.
I did. It was all right.
It was fun.
It was a Hallmark movie with Kurt Russell.
Yeah. I like Kurt Russell.
I like when he's on screen being Kurt Russell, it's entertaining
as
hell.
It is.
But
yeah.
The moment he's not on screen or when the characters interact with one another, it's terrible.
It's not Escape from
all
the North Pole.
All this
it
stuff
been.
With that'd been cool.
It would have been a better movie, right?
But actually, no, I really like all the stuff, all the parts that he's in. I really liked all of the art around the North Pole stuff. I thought was really well done.
Until they showed the elves.
The elves were kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But no, but the, like, the sets for the North Pole I thought were really cool. They were really well done.
They even had Goldie Hawn at the end.
That was cool. And we were kind of, Val and I were watching it, we were kind of wondering, we're like, is Goldie Hawn going to be Mrs. Claus? Because that would be cute.
Was she?
Yeah,
she was. Played Mrs. Claus at the end.
And, but yeah, she doesn't show up until, like, all the way at the end.
I guess she was falling off the boat or whatever.
Yeah.
But, psst.
It was cute. A fun thing to sit around and watch.
Maybe I'll watch that next holiday.
I watched it for Christmas.
Yeah, that's
about as good as any Hallmark movie.
Pretty much.
But it has Kurt Russell in it, and there's some funny moments with Kurt Russell. I think the funniest part was with the car.
Yeah.
When they're, like, chasing around in the car. He's like, this is not very Santa-like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he's very, like the workings man Santa Claus. He's not, like,
well,
Chris Tim Allen Santa Claus or anything like that.
Right.
And I like that. I like, I think that's part of what I liked about the movie, is I like Santa Claus being kind of wild.
Mm. Like, he's a weird,
like,
dude.
He's, because to me, I feel like Santa kind of comes, is like this remnant left over from this kind of wild nature-based kind of paganism. He's meant to be a wild force.
Sure.
And so I prefer depictions of Santa where he's maybe a little bit dangerous. Not hostile, not malign in any way. He's kind, he's good, but he's a little bit dangerous. There's a little bit of wildness about him that makes him... You know, not that he's going to hurt anybody.
No, no. He's,
but that,
he's Kris Kringle.
Right. He's Santa. He's, you know, he's
good
cool.
Old Saint Nick.
But and so this had just enough of that. You
sure.
Know, where it's Kurt Russell is kind of that way.
Most definitely. I agree with that.
And he exudes that quality.
Well, he's just charming.
He's right. Kurt Russell, I think, he's a good guy. He's charming. He's, but a little bit wild. He's just still got a little bit enough of that, like, bad boy. You know, that, like,
sidebar, in Overlord, Kurt Russell's son is in the movie.
Yeah, right.
Looks just like his dad.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's like calling in all the
Kurt Russell-ness
from like 80s past.
Yeah,
like he's the action star.
Yeah,
he has the looks and the, like, the pause and the cadence to his voice.
But not the 60s Disney Kurt Russell.
No, they skipped that all entirely.
So what's the other movie? The other movie that I saw that no one's talked about was A Wrinkle in Time, the much maligned.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it at all.
I liked it.
I tried.
I think part of why I liked it as much as I did is that I watched it with my kids.
Okay.
And the little one particularly, she was completely into it. Mm. Like this, the you know, the magical worlds and stuff that they went to, she was completely into it. She loved it. And so I was sitting next to her while she watched it. And I think that helped my experience of it, because I kind of got to see it.
You experienced it through her
a little bit.
Yeah.
But I liked the movie. In my head canon, this movie takes place in the same universe as Tomorrowland.
I can see that.
But from a different
perspective.
It's
okay.
They're both going to the same place through different routes.
Oh.
That's my headcanon. And now Tomorrowland was much maligned too, but I loved Tomorrowland.
I liked Tomorrowland as well.
Tomorrowland was far better than this movie to me. But
Tomorrowland had some great ideas in it. They just didn't stick the landing.
I can give you that. I enjoyed it a lot though.
I did too. It's one of my favorites from Brad Bird. So.
Yeah. I enjoyed Tomorrowland a lot. And I think that thinking of this movie as being in the same universe, I think helps a little bit.
The Wrinkle in Time, so, that was a book from the 60s, right?
Yeah.
So it's been around.
Have you ever read that
time.
Book?
I have not.
It is so weird.
The movie's weird. It's odd. I mean, it's still like a family, like, kids movie, but, like, there's, like, time travel weirdness.
Yeah, that's time travel.
Yeah,
that's why it's called Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's bizarre, like, weird, like.
I remember reading it in third grade.
Yeah.
I never had to read it.
Third grade or second grade? One of those two. But anyway, I remember reading it, and it was. I kept on asking my teacher, who are these people? Why is this happening?
She didn't know.
No, she really didn't. or she just told me, like, you're not really reading the book. One of the
you probably weren't, were you?
I was reading the chapters assigned. What do you want me to say?
You need to get
the cliff notes.
The cliff notes. Thank you. Well, that wraps up our movie section.
Of the rewind.
So we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to come back and we're going to do TV and video games. And we're going to touch on our music.
Touch
it. We're going to touch our music.
Touch it nice and softly.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Hello.
We're back from the break.
That's right. We were jamming some metal during our break.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we're not going to have...
That's what we do.
We're not going to have George hates metal on this episode, but I think I found something that George actually liked.
Yeah.
We also found something that George hates, so it was a good experiment all around.
That's right. So.
It was like a good full circle. We started with what he liked and ended with what he hated.
So, George liked the new Meadows End, the
I
band
did, yeah,
from Sweden.
Yeah, it's quite good.
He did not like Refusal.
No, I did not.
He refused
I refused the Refusal.
That's right. But he wants to frolic on the Meadows End.
Who doesn't?
No, I do.
Exactly.
That they sent me the promo this week, like on Monday. I've listened to this album like 5 times already. It's really good. It's yeah.
Okay.
I'm digging it a lot.
And you said it comes out in March?
Comes out in March.
Right on.
But... they have a video for the song, and it's on Spotify, too. What is the song called? This is like an impromptu George Hates Metal. The album's called The Grand Antiquation. The
song's called
Non-Dreaming Eye. Yep. This is like, they've been around since like, what do you say, 2007? 97?
What? I didn't look up the research.
Yeah, they have apparently been around since 97.
Wow.
That's Dave's corner of expertise is research.
That's right. Encyclopedia in Italian.
Right.
That's me. That's what they call me.
I've heard that nickname.
Along with Brutal Dave. He's a really long nickname.
It's Dave Encyclopedia in Italian.
I had a friend some years back. He was probably not ever going to listen to this, but he was always intent on starting his own movie production studio. Big movie buff.
Sure.
Fan. And he always told me that when he started his movie studio, he was going to hire me as basically the resident researcher. That basically that would just be my job. Is to read books.
That's basically
and
what
get
I told
feedback.
You. Yeah, that's what I told you.
You have a new nickname now. Encyclopedia Dave Tellum.
There you go. He had another nickname for me. It was just Booksy McReads a lot.
Basically, here, read this book and tell me if I would like it.
Sounds like a funk band or something.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
So what do you want to do next? Do you want to do TV shows?
Let's do that TV
stuff. I don't have a lot because we watch a lot of sitcoms and things like that, but I just haven't been catching up on a lot of shows. I caught up on this year. I caught up on Gotham and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't even know they were still making it.
They are. This is the last season. Season 5 just came out. It's the last one.
How did it end?
It's not over yet.
Oh. I thought you said you saw it.
I caught up on up to season 4.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Season 5 isn't out yet.
It just started like 2 episodes in.
Oh, okay.
But it's not my it's not my top shows.
Would you watch it?
Yeah. Once I start watching something, I stick with it to the end, you know what I mean?
Just breaking your shit here. No, sorry. Okay. So, next, what was your, why don't you start your list?
Do you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? I actually have 10 on my list.
You have 10
that's
shows?
A lot more yeah. things than
I only
me.
Have 6.
Wow. I could start with one of mine.
All right.
Runaways.
That came out in 2018? I guess I forgot to put that on my list. Yeah, I watched that. It was pretty good.
Season 2 has already come out. We've watched the first episode, but we haven't continued.
I have not watched Season 2 at all, but I want to.
I love the Runaways series. It's a great comic book series, and the TV, it captures a lot of the series.
Sort of.
Sort of.
It's like it's a not light, perfect, it's like a light version of a comic
yeah.
book. Sure. I totally forgot that came out this year, yeah. or last year.
Ash versus Evil Dead Season 3.
Not the strongest season.
No, but it is the last one.
Okay. I forgot about it, so.
Oh, okay.
The series finale was great, and I wish the whole show was like the series finale, but.
What's on your list?
Let's I thought you were done. I was gonna
I'm not
wait.
Done yet.
I was going to let you do your list. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, like we did the movies.
Glow is on my list.
Is on my list as well.
I love Glow.
But I didn't finish Season 2. I just remember liking it, so it's on my list.
I think one of my favorite episodes is when they recreated the show from, like, making an 80s version of the show. That was pretty great. I'm going to continue on then. Castlevania. The Netflix cartoon series.
I tried watching the first few episodes, and
yeah.
I just couldn't get into it. I kept falling asleep.
It's a slow burner for sure.
And it's boring.
But if you're into the lore of Castlevania, it's definitely there.
It was very boring to me. I could not. I like anime too, and I just couldn't get into it.
I'm trying to see. I don't really have these in order yet, so I am going to throw Game of Thrones on here because
Game
you
of
have
Thrones
to.
Did not come out last year.
There was a series in season 8, 2018, was there?
It was not. They took a year off to make what's coming out in April.
So maybe I'll take it off my list then. I swear
unless you were catching up last year. Is that what you did?
I don't think so. We were watching it. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
They did not have a season last year.
Okay. Maybe it was all that White Walker I was drinking.
There you go.
I'm going to blame it on that. See, so that brings me up to like what, number 6? 5 or 6 for me. I'm going to say Barry.
That's on my list.
I freaking
That's
love that show.
That's number 3 on my list.
It's probably number 5 for me.
I like that quite a bit. It's funny.
I did too.
What is that one? I don't know that one.
Bill Hader is a hitman for hire, and he's very severely depressed. He doesn't want to be a hitman anymore.
Yep.
And he accidentally falls in love with the joys of acting, and so now he's trying to be an actor while he's trying to get rid of his hitman life, but it keeps okay. bleeding into
Henry
it.
Winkler is the acting coach. Okay. And what's the his boss's name? I can't think of it.
I can't remember his name either, but I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
Oh, God. I don't know why I can't think of his name now.
He's in Office Space.
Office Space and, yeah.
The stapler guy from Office Space.
Oh, Stephen Root.
Yeah, thank you. God damn. Supposed to say King of the Hill? Come on.
Yeah, he was.
I know his face.
Bill Dautrey from King of the Hill, yeah.
News Radio. That's where I first saw him.
I never seen that show.
What? That was a good show. It was a funny show.
It was before my time.
So let's see. Show that I really got into this year is a Get Shorty.
Oh,
I mentioned it before.
I have not watched that yet.
I watched season 1 on Netflix when it came out, and I was like, I got super addicted to it. So I got the free trial to Epics or whatever it was, and I watched season 2 like seriously within like 2 days. I was like binge watching it.
And it's with Ray Romano.
Ray Romano, Chris O'Dowd, those are the two main stars.
John Travolta reprises role?
John Travolta is not in it.
Danny DeVito?
Nope.
Why would I watch this then?
Because it's much
Chris
better.
O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd. He's great. He's actually really good in the show.
I do like him in the IT Crowd.
If you haven't seen it yet, Chris O'Dowd is a fucking gangster. Is pretty gangster.
Yeah.
It's great.
I plan on watching it. It's on my list to watch on Netflix.
I really enjoyed
that. Are they
going
to put season 2 on Netflix, or do you know?
Probably eventually. Because they just put season 1 out there. I just started, you know what I started watching recently? I know it wasn't a Netflix series, but Happy.
Oh, I saw that on Sci-Fi. That was really good. That came out last year, or the year before last.
Yeah. I just started watching it recently.
It's not great, but it's funny. at times, and it's really weird. It's kind of because the guy's from Law and Order, right?
Yeah. I can't think of his name now.
I don't know his name either, but I just recognize him from Law and Order days. And it's really weird to see him go from Law and Order to like this bumbling drunk
ex-cop.
Ex-cop, sort of.
Who's
seeing talking to his kid's imaginary friend.
Yeah. Who's played by Patton Oswalt, by the way.
Written by Grant Morrison.
Morrison, yeah.
Yeah.
The comics writer, yes. Grant Morrison? Really?
Oh, it's based on his comic book.
Oh, okay.
It's a very strange series. It's very...
Grant Morrison's strange, so...
Yes, yeah. It looks like...
you might dig it, though.
Very noir style, so like very Sin City style,
There's a very creepy Santa Claus in it.
Yeah. It's a very... It's an interesting series. I like it a lot so far. I'm going to move on to my next one, which is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Never seen a single episode.
Really?
Well, I take that back. I've watched 4 episodes, and I thought it was not funny.
That show is fucking hysterical.
The only good thing about it was...
If you don't like it, you're not funny.
Is I like Terry Crews.
Yep.
And then What's-His-Face gets in there and ruins it.
You don't like Andy Samberg?
I do not like Andy Samberg. I don't think he's funny.
I can see why you would not like the show.
I like everyone else in the show besides Andy Samberg. Like the Chief, I think he's hilarious. When he's like playing it so straight...
Yes.
I think he's funny, but when he's...
Andre Bauer?
I don't remember his
name.
He
was from... not
he was
Oz,
in The Mist.
Right. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was also in... what's the show everybody loved on HBO?
The Wire?
The Wire.
Yeah, he was in The Wire. Yeah.
I really, really got into Ozark this year, too.
I have yet to watch that, but I want to.
It's very close to Breaking Bad, but... I really like Jason Bateman in this show. He's phenomenal in this show. The reason I started watching it because I know one of the local actors, Evan George somebody.
Vazulis.
Yes. He plays one of the characters in the show. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give the show a shot because he's in it. I got super addicted to it. I watched season one.
I hear season one's good. Season two kind of like wanes a little bit, from what I understand. But
there's parts of it were a little bit slower. But yeah, it's
slow as it is, from what I understand.
But it's you want to know what happens next. It's one of those shows where I can't wait to see what happens. You know what I mean? My number one show of this past year is A Good Place.
Season two.
Yeah.
Okay, because like season one came out in like 2016 or 2017.
This is the third season that's out.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, third season, I think it's fourth season now. But
Val's been watching it usually when I'm here doing this.
Really?
I haven't seen any of
it. You think it's like a
fantastic show.
She's told me several times I need to watch it, that I'd like it.
You think it'd be like a one-note thing, but they always find something new and funny and interesting.
Was you know what's funny? I told her, I was like, oh yeah, Ted Danson. She's like, that's Ted Danson. Like,
yeah,
it's
Ted. Yeah.
Like, I don't think she's seen him since Cheers.
They always surprise me on this show. You know, they always find something that's innovative and creative. And
the guy who plays Chidi is great.
Yeah, everybody on the show is great.
I don't know. I can't stand that Asian dude.
Jason?
He's
not like that in real life.
I know he's not, but his jokes are the same every episode.
He's starting to change. Not change, but his character will change. He'll be...
I guess. If there was any one character that could kill off the show and I wouldn't miss, it would be that character.
I could see that. I really like the show. I think it's one of the funniest shows on TV.
Yeah. I really don't even think What's-Her-Face is that funny, and I enjoy the show.
Kristen Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's great on the show. She's
good in the show. Normally, I don't find her that funny, but she's good in the show.
A lot of the stuff she's ever done has never really been comedic. I mean, she's done some comedy roles, but most of her stuff has not been, so.
Mm-hmm. All the stuff she's done with her husband is not very good.
I like Dax Shepard.
Shepard. That's right. That's right.
Usually, everything she does with Dax Shepard.
I actually listen to his podcast a lot, Armchair Expert.
Okay.
Yep.
Shout out to them, I guess.
Sure.
All right.
That's it for me.
That's your whole list.
I like Disenchantment. I watched that on Netflix.
I tried to watch it. It's so slow and not funny.
I don't think it's slow, but
the jokes are. Jokes you've heard 100 times.
It's Matt Groening.
So what?
Matt Groening's already done all the jokes.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, he's also, he did the same jokes in Futurama, but in Futurama it was still poignant and funny.
There's definitely funny parts of the show. You might have not given it enough chance.
I gave it 4 episodes, man. If it doesn't get funny in 4 episodes, how much further am I supposed to give it? 10?
5?
There's 10 episodes.
Give it one more. I don't know. That's just one of my runner-ups, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I thought it was fun.
I thought the demon's funny.
The demon was funny.
But everyone else in the show is very annoying and not funny. Okay. My list, I'll start from the bottom, which we already said was Glow. I really enjoy it. I didn't finish season 2, but what I've seen is really great. End of the Fucking World, which is also a Netflix show.
What?
Hilarious if you haven't seen it.
I have not.
I saw it on several lists when I was like doing research for this.
Basically, I've never heard of it. This kid's a serial killer.
Highly rated.
This kid's a, he thinks of himself as a serial killer, or he has serial killer tendencies. And he goes on this road trip with this girl that he's pretending to be her boyfriend so he can kill her. But she's really falling in love with him.
I saw
the
trailer for this. Okay.
And he's really falling in love with her. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out. Next up will be Maniac.
I tried to get into that.
Oh, it is so good.
I didn't finish the first episode. It was just, I was working at the same time.
I want to be honest with you. First episode is the worst episode.
Okay.
It just gets better from there on out. Okay.
Because I wasn't into it that much.
Jonah Hill and Emma Watson in this weird psychedelic future where it's retro, but it's not retro.
They're sort of drugged. They're sort of like drugged up.
And Justin Theroux's in it. And it's weird. They go part of this study where. They take this brain chemicals to make them not depressed people and crazy depressed people.
Okay.
And they have to go through this chemical study. And this basically the show is about their experiences through this chemical study. My explanation does not do it justice. The creator, the writer and director of the show is the writer and director of all of season 1 of True Detective.
Okay.
And it's so good. It's so good. And Emma Watson is such a fantastic actress.
I do like
she's,
her.
She's acts circles around Jonah Hill. It's embarrassing how good of an actor she is compared to Jonah Hill. But it's a good show. I like it quite a bit. Then you talked about The Good Place. I like that as well. Then we talked about Barry. I like that as well. Mm-hmm. And my number 2 slot is Atlanta Season 2, Robin Season.
I have not seen Atlanta yet.
Oh, it's so good. It's so weird. Get so poignant.
I know I would like it. What channel is that on?
It's on FX, but you can catch all of. I think season 2 is on Hulu, but I watch it. I have it recorded.
I have the Fox
DVR.
Now app, so I could probably watch it through there.
Sometimes they get rid of the episodes on FX now, so if you don't watch it right away, they get rid of the episodes later. And then my number one episode, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, Haunting of Hill House. It's probably my favorite show.
I hear a lot about that.
So my list is very short. I'm getting right back to your point, but my list was very short, and a lot of the stuff that's on it I haven't even finished. I watched very little TV this year, apparently. But
hey, because you're a busy person.
I'm a busy motherfucker. but I am about, I think I'm about halfway through The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, I think there's only 8 or 9 episodes.
I think there's at least 10.
Is there?
Yeah, I thought it was shorter, too. We looked at it the other night. I think it's around 10, okay. 10 or 11, something like that.
Yeah, I said, the least favorite is the very end.
So, I didn't love the first episode. I've been hearing a lot of really good things about this, and the first episode was not great as far as the like character and drama stuff was really like ham-fisted and not well written and not likable, but the horror stuff was so well done.
Yeah, it's great.
That I gotta see more of that, and I'm glad that I did, because the character and story stuff has gotten so much better a few episodes.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
And like it,
you haven't watched this, Carrie?
I have not yet.
God, it's good.
It's on my watch list.
You
actually
should just give it a quick dive, man. It's good.
Okay. Like I said, the first episode, the character stuff is not really great in it. But
you ever seen that show This Is Us or whatever on NBC or CBS?
I know what it is. I've never watched it.
Whatever. It's very drama-ish in like that in episode 1 and the last 20 minutes.
The Haunting of
Hill House.
It's like This Is Us?
Sort of.
What?
When you watch it, you'll understand.
So it's done like... So I'll say this. The haunted house stuff in it is some of the best haunted house stuff I've seen in a movie or show in a really, really long time. It's genuinely creepy.
Okay.
And I'm a big horror movie fan, and I feel like that said, I'm a horror movie fan. Most horror movies are terrible, and
you're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong. Most horror movies are terrible, and most of them get the scary stuff wrong.
Yeah,
they do them wrong.
Watch Hereditary,
and this is doing the scary stuff really well. There's long silences.
It's like Amityville or house. It's a house is haunted type of deal, like Amityville.
I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Oh, okay.
The ending. The ending's really good. The way they explain everything is really good.
Okay. So the way that the story is told is, so I'm like what, 4 or 5 episodes in. They're all covering the same periods of time, but from different people's perspective. But then there's also flashbacks. But then it's also flashbacks.
I hate that.
No, but it's good.
It's great.
Oh.
No, it's really good because the flashbacks and the now stuff, like it's all...
It coincides. It makes sense.
It totally makes sense because the stuff that's going on now is based on the stuff that was going on then. And in fact, that's how they refer to it is when they timestamp the stuff, it's now and then.
Sure.
Which I kind of liked that too.
Yeah.
But it's all kind of chopped up and back and forth. So you get them, the characters as they are now, and then you get them as they were kids living in this house that, was it haunted? I'm not sure at this point.
So they're still being haunted by whatever.
Maybe.
Oh.
So it's like,
call me interested.
The show is so far not at all what I was expecting. And so I don't know what's, I have some ideas about where I think it may be going, but I also totally accept that I'm probably wrong.
Can you tell me what your ideas are?
I'll tell you later.
Oh, okay. I'm curious.
What else is on your list?
So, I love this show so far. I'm only halfway through.
It's probably my favorite experience this year on watching TV.
Bandersnatch?
No.
They're doing creepy stuff.
Better version of Bandersnatch.
Did you hear that the publishing company that put out the Choose Your Own Adventure books is suing Netflix over Bandersnatch?
Because they made the stupidest mistake on the planet to use the word verbatim, and in the lower thirds, it's like with the same quote unquote Choose Your Own Adventure story.
Yeah.
Like they steal it directly. Yeah, okay. Like they don't even try to hide it.
So. That's funny.
I mean, Bandersnatch, it is what it is. It's an experience I think everyone should do at least once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
I did it 3 times just to see if I can get all the endings.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's a fun experience. Not a great story.
That's what I've heard.
I love Black Mirror, but Black Mirror is done better.
Okay. But yeah, I guess the final wrap-up on Haunting of Hill House is it turns out the character and story development stuff is really interesting, and I'm glad that I stuck with it for that. The horror scary stuff is some of the, like, as far as haunted house kind of stuff goes, it's some of the best I've seen. Just genuinely creepy. It cool. Sits with you.
Yeah.
And like I think about some of the creepy scenes afterwards.
When you go to bed at night, is my
house. I'm usually watching it right before I go to sleep.
So I was telling you, like, one of the, I can't remember if it's in episode 1 or episode 2, but it's a scene where the writer of the siblings, he's remembering his past, and his dad is like, "Whatever you do, don't open your eyes." And he likes
that's
carrying,
the first episode.
It's the first episode. Yeah. All right. So he's carrying them down the stairs, and they're running through the hallways and about to go down the stairs. And this is one scene where the possessed mom, at least you think it's the possessed mom, just running after him, and it's pitch black, and all you see is her red nightgown. It's creepy as fuck.
It really was. It's a very quick shot.
Yeah.
And it's because he had opened his eyes to look while they were running, and because he was told not to, so of course he does.
Sure.
Right? And it's just, this is what he saw in that instant that he opened his eyes, right? But that's how, like, all the horror stuff, especially the kid horror stuff, it's all like, this is what things felt like when you were a kid. like when there were monsters in under the bed or in the hall or whatever, this is what it felt like.
Right.
Like, it's terrifying.
Carrie's going to watch this tonight, probably.
Maybe not tonight, but this weekend sounds good.
Good show so far. I'm enjoying it a lot. I also have I only have a couple things I actually finished. The other one that I have that's still in flux was the Sabrina Netflix thing.
I started watching it. We got halfway through. We didn't finish it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Like, I were a couple episodes in, and like I'm enjoying it okay, but I don't feel super compelled to keep going.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that sits. I want to watch the end of it. I'm just not driven to watch the end of it. I watched the Netflix, the Steve Martin and Martin Short special that they put out.
I tried
to watch that.
You didn't like it?
I kind of got bored halfway through.
I didn't include any of the other bullshit that we watch, like all the cooking channel shows and like...
Well, Great British Bake Off is the best thing.
Gordon Ramsay shows and all that kind of stuff. We watch all that stuff.
Great British Bake Off is a blessing to the world.
Is it?
Yes. If you never watched Great British Bake Off, Carrie, what are you doing with your life?
Is it on Netflix?
Yes. Start from the episode one and watch it. It's so delightful. It's British people being nice to each other and just baking stuff. It is so nice.
Sounds delicious.
And it's peaceful. And you feel nice about yourself. It's like watching Paddington 2.
If I was going to.
You should. Watch Paddington 1, then watch Paddington 2. Do a double feature.
All right. I might not.
You should. It's great.
Might not.
Okay.
Aggretsuko.
What's that? Yeah.
I loved Aggretsuko.
I watched a few episodes.
It's an anime. The Netflix.
Oh my god, that little anime death metal show.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that.
And she's a... It's in the Sanrio universe. This is in the Sanrio.
Is it really in the Sanrio?
Yes, this is a Sanrio character.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
What's Sanrio?
The company that puts out Hello Kitty.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. It's the same style.
It is the same art style. Yeah. But yeah, this is a character in that same Sanrio world.
Does that mean Hello Kitty's in the world?
Somewhere, I guess.
I want to see her.
I can't wait for that episode.
The character.
I want to see that episode where that character kills Hello Kitty. That'd be great.
She wouldn't do that.
Oh, okay.
Hell, it'd be Hello Kitty. Hell.
But no, the Aggretsuko character was introduced by Sanrio like 2 years ago. and then the show came later, but the show like exploded. And so the character's like really popular now. I can't tell you how many people I saw at conventions this year dressed as Aggretsuko.
Really?
Yeah. I saw a lot of people.
How do you pronounce it? Aggretsuko?
Aggretsuko.
Okay.
So the character's name is Retsuko. So add ag to the beginning, like aggressive.
For sure.
Aggretsuko.
This is a Netflix show too, right?
I believe it is. Yeah.
How does everybody feel about the price rake? Price rise?
I don't care.
I mean,
I'll still pay it. But
yeah, I mean, are you gonna? What are you gonna do? Not pay it?
I know.
So yeah, the premise of the show, if it hasn't been clear from our banter. Aggretsuko is about a red panda who works in an office in Japan, and it's this like soul-sucking horrible job. And so in her downtime on weekends and evenings, she goes and does death metal karaoke, and that's how she like gets
her. I bet you that's a real thing in Japan.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. The whole thing though is just kind of like the drama unfolding about her like relationships and her experience at work, and it's it's really weird that it turns into that. But
oh my god, you just reminded me. I just remembered a show and I forgot to put it on my list. Aggretsuko reminded me of it. It's another animated Netflix original called Hilda. It is so
good. My kids have been watching that, and the pieces of it that I've caught have been really good.
It's great.
I need to sit down and watch it.
It's really good. It's very full of imagination and adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
The character Hilda is so thoughtful and she learns lessons. It's great.
Yeah, kids have really been enjoying it, and I've only caught a little bit of it.
It's a great show.
What I've seen of it's been really
good. I totally forgot to mention that.
So the other one that I have is MST3K's The Gauntlet.
I've only seen one episode from there so far.
I felt like
the Mac and Me episode.
I need to see that.
It's hilarious.
It's really
funny.
I need
to see that.
I actually thought, so this was a short season. It was only six episodes.
Right.
But I felt
they were on tour.
But I felt like the writing this season was really good.
Mac and Me was probably the best they've done so far.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I need to watch this. Cause I, you know, every time Paul Rudd used to go on to Conan,
yeah.
Conan, he would, they'd be like, let's show a clip from Ant-Man. And they would show a clip from Mac and Me of them running down the hill.
Of the kid falling off the hill. On
yes.
The, on oh, the, that's so good.
Every time.
But it was, I really liked the season.
That's probably one of my favorite experiences this year, was seeing MST.
I wish I'd been able to go
live.
To that.
It was so good. I didn't think I would laugh that hard.
Was that your 2018 moment?
That was one of my favorite moments of 2018. Probably the most 2018 moment. It would be regressive if it was like not my proposal, right? Right?
Yeah.
Like I'd be in deep trouble.
I'd have to cut this out and send it to your fiance.
Look what your fiance said.
You said Mystery Science Theater was better than marrying you.
Or proposing.
Proposing to you.
Yeah. So it's one of my favorite moments.
What was your 2018 moment?
Not dying.
Well, yeah, besides that.
God. I don't know. I went to a lot of really good concerts this year.
Agreed.
Best concert of the year.
That's a tough one because there were a lot of really good ones. But
best.
Maybe one of the most
Ghost.
Fun was not Ghost. Actually.
Really?
I saw them twice this year.
I know.
Was it Behemoth?
You're like a ghost head.
It might have been the...
The Slayer show?
No.
No?
Though that was fucking awesome.
Yeah?
That was a great fucking show. It might have been the Dark Tranquillity show.
Okay.
I had a great time that night. Dark Tranquillity, Amorphis, Moonspell, and Omnium Gatherum was fucking killer show.
I definitely agree. My 2018 moment was a concert as well. And that was seeing Helloween in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Chicago.
That was a watershed moment for me. I've seen Helloween before, and the only time I'd ever seen him before, surprisingly, was actually in Chicago.
Do you mean, like, you cried?
Yes, I cried.
Well, you said watershed. That's why I asked.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Congratulations.
I don't know if I did.
You said a watershed moment, so... Whatever. I'll shut up.
Whatever. Don't ruin my moment.
Sorry.
That was it.
I'm not trying to piss on your parade.
I saw a lot of shows this year, too, but, I mean, seeing Helloween live with the full lineup, all three singers, everything, like almost a three-hour show, phenomenal.
Cool.
It was awesome.
That Slayer show was pretty badass,
It though. Was, too.
The pyrotechnics.
Except for Killswitch.
You mean...
Or was it Killswitch?
No, it was Lamb of God.
Lamb of God, thank you. I get just too confused.
I actually didn't even see most of their set. I was out like
we walked around a few times too. Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that again, but but the show was really good. Everything considered, the pyrotechnics during Slayer set were unreal.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like that.
I've never
before.
Seen so much fire.
I know. When
indoors.
They
indoors, yeah.
Specifically when they played the song Hell Awaits.
Yes.
And they turned on like fucking everything.
Every
like,
row
the stage
was like
looked
full,
like hell.
It was like completely on fire. And I've seen Slayer do Rain in Blood.
With the actual,
Rain
in
blood.
Yeah.
They did that on Tattoo the Earth.
Probably. I saw him do it a couple times, but this fire
That's the only time I've ever seen Slayer is at Tattoo the Earth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them way so many.
2001? Two?
Yeah, 2000.
It was 2000.
Was it 2000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it was because my first concert was 98 and that was my next big concert.
I remember I was at that show. It was in the Pasadena Fairgrounds.
Yep.
I
know because I fell during a mosh pit and got trampled on the rocks.
I did too.
Shit sucked.
It was a Hatebreed mosh pit.
Mine
somehow
was
I was like,
amen.
Oh, look, I'm going to watch Hatebreed. Next thing I knew, I was in the fucking pit when they started. I'm like, holy shit.
All
they get out
is
of here.
That one good song.
Yeah, I'm not going there. I'm not talking about Hatebreed.
Okay.
I do like his podcast, though.
I have not listened to it.
It's actually the Jamie Josta podcast is pretty interesting because he gets a lot of – I don't listen to every single one, but the musicians that he gets on that I'm interested in, he always has really cool things to talk about. It's not just like – let's talk about your album. They really get in depth into the music scene, you know, which is what I like about it. But he's sort of a douche, but whatever.
Right on.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Let's talk about video games. I know you guys didn't play a lot.
This is going to be short for me.
I don't have a lot on my list.
There was,
I mean,
there was a 3.5 month period in 2018 where I didn't play a video game at all.
I'm sorry.
Sounds like my life every day.
So I probably have the most on my list. You want me to start?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to do some honorable mentions first.
Okay.
One of the things I did get this year was PSVR, which I've been playing that a lot. And putting my list together, I realize I played my Switch and my PlayStation 4 more than anything else this year, which is surprising to me. So,
same with me. So,
And I usually, if I have a choice of playing which system, I'll play Xbox. But so on my honorable mention, I'm going to put Beat Saber. Beat Saber is a PSVR game. So imagine
it's a Guitar Hero.
It's sort of Guitar Hero, but you have lightsabers.
Right,
exactly
on.
Right.
I've been wanting to play that.
It is so fucking fun. The music, I hate the music in the game because it's like, you know, EDM type dance. Sort of. There's some rapping stuff in there, but
All right. The
game is so much fun.
They should make it to where you can put your own music in there.
Apparently the PC version you can actually download. People make their own custom songs.
Oh, cool.
I'm like,
maybe we'll make an update.
I hope so, because I'm not spending money on a PC to play whatever VR you have to get.
Vive.
I'm happy with the PSVR, which was, I got it for a good deal, so I'm happy with it.
What'd you get it for?
It was like $199.
That's not
like
bad. It's $100 off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, one of the games that came with it is Moss, which is one of the...
Moth?
M-O-S-S.
Moss.
I have a lisp, so...
No, I apologize. Was making sure.
It's not a very long game. It's maybe like 3 or 4 hours, but... Imagine you're playing a picture book, like a storybook,
uh-huh.
And the main character is a mouse with a sword.
Oh, I did see this. Yeah, that looks cool. It reminded me of Mouse Guard. That's why I wanted to play it.
And there's parts of the game where you have to sort of help him out, help the character. You're controlling the character, number one. It's an action platformer game.
On VR.
Yes. And you're controlling the character, but there's parts of the game where you have to like reach in and move a rock and push it out of the way for him. And just there's interesting things like that.
Cool.
I really like Tetris Effect as well.
That was a free game, right?
It was not.
No.
It was I think it's like a $40 game, but I only paid like $20
for it. Tetris in VR.
Well, it's a regular Tetris too. You can just, there's a VR, portion of it. But, it's basically Tetris, but it's just a trippy, levels are really trippy and there's colors and shit splashing everywhere. It's just a lot of fun. They upgraded Tetris in the next logical way, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool. I didn't know you could upgrade Tetris.
Yeah, they did it. They figured it out.
Through updated Tetris technology.
Yeah, they put more Tetri in there, whatever you call them. Tetrises. We played, we haven't finished it, but A Way Out is a lot of fun. It's a, the only way to play it, you have to have two players. So, it's you escaping out of prison and all this kind of stuff. Me and my wife started playing it. We need to go back and finish it, but it's a great couch co-op game. But it's not very long, apparently.
Demo.
Yeah.
I played the demo, the online demo that they have, so they like patch you in with somebody who's on PS Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and who's also playing the demo, and that's what I played, and that's why it's on my list at number 4.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I've only played a level, which was the prison.
I finish it, I'll let you borrow it.
Okay.
Because what we did, you can't play, it's not couch co-op, you have to play on two different systems.
Yeah, I know.
So...
So you have to have two copies?
You do not have to have two copies.
It
you
comes with two
one.
Copies when
no,
you
no,
buy
no, it.
No,
it does not.
It doesn't?
Comes with... The second person playing needs to download a free update. It's a free standalone version, but the person that owns the game has to set it up, and then you can join into their game through that other...
Play with someone online.
You could do that as well, but I'd rather play with... people that
which
you know.
It's a kind of a game that came and went really quickly, so I don't know how many more people are like clamoring to
and it's
play
not a,
it.
It's not a long game from what I hear. It's
no, it's not for what I understand.
Maybe 5-ish hours, but I'm a sucker for narrative-driven games, and it's written really, really well.
Sure.
Going to my top 10.
Damn, you got more than 10? Jesus.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2.
That is my number 3.
It's way higher for me. I mean, I played it when it first came out. Not saying it's boring. Some of the narrative is not written very well, but they also had to put 75 hours of story into this game. You know what
I
mean?
Are you playing the main storyline, or are you playing all the side missions? I'm doing a little bit of both. Well, see, that's the problem. Like, you could do the side missions, but the main storyline is where the game really shines.
No, I agree.
Have you ever played a GTA game?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, so if you ever played a GTA game, it's the same thing.
I think...
Grand Theft Horse.
Grand Theft Horse, it is.
It's essentially is what it is.
I think that's one of my least favorite parts of the game is the horse aspect riding? Of the game. The riding of the horse, traveling from location to location.
See, I'm only about 15 minutes into the game. I've only played a couple of missions, and I'm enjoying it so far. But I loved the first one.
Yeah.
Redemption.
And the horse riding was part of what I liked about it. The traveling aspect, the game was beautiful, and I'm looking forward to more of that. Of just,
yeah, it's
like,
very
hopping
beautiful
on a
in
horse
game,
and
yeah.
just riding and just...
What's, I think the only thing that I kind of find annoying is you got to be careful of like where you're riding to and yeah. how much you're draining or your resources, because you got to sleep or you got to let your horse rest. And if you don't rest, your stuff won't replenish.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. I'm not that far yet. But
you can actually.
That's cool. I like that though.
But in the game, there is traversal with a horse that you don't have to control. It's sort of weird the way you have to do it. You have to go into like cinema mode, mm-hmm. cinematic mode, and then do it that way. My next game on my list, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I haven't played in a few months because my wife has hijacked my copy of it, and she's been playing it non-fucking-stop.
Yep.
I think it's my favorite Assassin's Creed game ever made.
Because it has nothing to do with the Assassin's Creed mythos.
Maybe so. It's set in ancient Greece, and it's just a lot of fun. And
I have to buy this game.
You do.
Greek,
it's like 25 bucks at GameStop this week.
25 bucks?
Yes.
Definitely
need to get it.
Is it new or used?
I think it's new, because there's like a big Ubisoft sale going on.
All right.
So the horse... traversal in this game, so much better. You go
because it does it for you.
Well, you can set your location and let it go do your dishes and
come
so back.
In Red Dead Redemption,
I understand that.
The cool thing is you could find secret shit along the way to your mission.
I do understand that. I understand.
Have you found any secret shit in Red Dead Redemption?
I have.
You're like what?
Did you find the UFOs? Some what?
Did you find the UFO yet?
No.
Never mind.
I found some Tomb Raider caves and shit like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you, there's this one where you can, like, find a Viking's helmet, and you can talk to Sasquatch.
Not do that.
Yeah. There's ghosts in the game if you get to a certain part.
I've probably put about 8 to 10 hours into that game so far.
Yeah.
Have you played the whole storyline?
No, I have not. I'm still on disc one, so...
Well, I thought the whole game played on one disc.
I think it's on two, but I could be wrong.
It comes with two discs, but I think that was for like install, and then the other one, because one of them is labeled play disc.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I could be wrong. One
of them is called data disc, and the other one's called play disc. So,
and I haven't tried the online aspect of it either.
I haven't either, but I
played
I
a little bit of the
many.
Online with the first Red Dead Redemption. And it was kind of like, okay, whatever the hell. You know,
well, this one you can like create your own band and like you hijack stuff and be criminals with other people.
I was asking though about if you played the whole story, because I loved the story of the first one.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, like when it was all done, I was like, that just
satisfying
it felt like a Western. Like the whole
totally,
whole fucking story felt just like a Western.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Yeah. So
far, I have that same feeling. Like, the way the game opens, it feels like you're in the beginning of Hateful Eight.
It did, yes. I had the same thought.
I agreed.
It was awesome. So.
Yeah. So, moving on, I have a couple of mine are sort of multi-platform, but I played them on my Switch. Celeste and Hollow Knight. I'm gonna
I
put
heard
those
were really good.
If you have Xbox Live, Celeste is actually free right now.
Oh, cool.
It's definitely worth playing. It's an action platformer.
They won, like, top
yes.
indie game or something
the
like that.
The game is fucking difficult as hell. You can actually put on a no-dying mode, which you sort of have to sometimes. But the game, you're traveling up a mountain, basically. But there's a lot of how do I put this? It's like you're fighting your inner depression in the game, and it's phenomenally well done.
All right.
It's smooth. It's just such a great game, but it is very, very difficult. If you're not up to that, you might want to put on easy mode where you don't die.
It's like Super Meat Boy.
Yes. It is a lot of stuff like Super Meat Boy.
Is it that level of difficulty?
It can be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I quit on Super Meat Boy halfway in.
But it's not as difficult. Super Meat Boy was very floaty in controls. Celeste is very smooth and very tight control. So if you fuck up, it's your fault, not the game's fault. You know what I mean?
Sure. I still get upset.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get upset. Don't get me wrong. But just if you can't get past something, put on the easy mode, get past it, then go back to the regular mode. You know what I mean? It's one of those retro 8-bit looking games,
sure,
which is very common now.
Oh, it's cheap. That's why.
Another game that's sort of in that genre is Hollow Knight, which is, I think it's on other platforms as well, but I played it on Switch. And you're like this, you're an insect it's a Metroidvania game, but the color, the design of it, everything about this game is so hauntingly beautiful. It's just an amazing game, and it's difficult as well, too. So we're down to my top five now.
Okay.
So number five for me is something I talked about on this show before, is Dead Cells.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about this game.
It's out on other platforms now. If you have not played Dead Cells, it's such a phenomenal game.
But this is a game where you have to, like, you play until you die, but then, like, you keep the stuff that you died with, so you use it to advance to the next level?
It's sort of, it's a randomly generated game, so each time you play, each time you die and you go back to it, it's sort of different. Roguelike, yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time you play, you just want to keep on going. Okay, I'm one more round. I'm going to get further this time. I didn't make it far. I got this weapon, and it's such an addicting game style. You just want to play it over and over and over and over. Okay. I can't recommend this game enough.
And what platform is this on?
I believe it's on all. I think it's PS4 and Switch. I don't know if it's on Xbox.
Okay,
but I know there's a PS4, a retail version. I saw it in GameStop.
Oh, okay.
Such a good game. Next game on my list is actually a PSVR game, and it's one of the games that came with mine.
Doom.
Astro Bot Rescue Mission. Another action platformer game.
I've never heard of this game.
Is that the one that Sean was playing?
Yes, that's the one Sean was playing. It's like Super Mario 64.
I didn't understand anything that
VR.
Was happening while I was watching it.
You're a little robot guy, and you can run around and punch enemies and do platforming stuff, but you double jump. You sort of like.
Do you jump in your living room?
No. You control it with your controller.
Oh, okay.
But the whole level, everything is just surrounding you. So, like, you start a level and you turn around and there's the beginning of the levels behind you. It's so phenomenally done. Such a fun game. It's cute. Everything about it, it's you what you want. The music is good. The gameplay is amazing. I think it's one of the best VR games I've played. That's what sold me on it. I was like, I'm totally down.
And it's called Robot what?
It's called Astrobot Rescue Mission.
All right.
Yep. Number three for me, probably on your list, is God of War.
It's my number one game.
Number one.
Yep.
It could be number one for me, but there's a couple better games are on my list for me.
I don't know. Everyone said God of War is game of the year.
God of War is great.
Did you finish it?
I have not finished it yet.
Oh, see, that's the problem.
That could be it.
You haven't finished the story.
Okay. I'm very far into it, but I have not completed it.
Do you mind me asking where you are?
I don't even remember. It's been months.
Oh, okay. God, that game's so good.
But I'm not going to have much time for those games after Kingdom Hearts comes out, which is a couple weeks.
Never played a single one. Always wanted to, though.
Next week, yeah. Play the new one. It's so hard to... If you haven't played the originals, very difficult to get into.
Why?
It's so much lore and legend. And
so wouldn't I play the old one so I can get into the new one?
I would say jump into the new one. I'm sure they'll recap somewhere.
Okay.
My number two game, it's a Switch game, The Messenger. I played the fuck out of this game. I'm still playing it today. I finally beat this boss that I was stuck on for like 3 or 4 days, and the game just opened up to this place I didn't even think it was going to go to. It turned... So what The Messenger is... You're playing the old Ninja Gaiden?
No.
Did you play Ninja Gaiden?
Very little.
It's gameplay like Ninja Gaiden, but in this open-ish world. But it sort of opened up for me today. So you go through like these portals and you switch from like 8-bit to 16-bit levels, and the gameplay sort of changes on you as well. It's such an addicting, phenomenal game.
So you go from Super Mario Brothers to Sonic.
No. Just the style of the game. It's the same gameplay. It's very Ninja Gaiden like.
Okay.
So you're running. You're a ninja. You have your sword. You have your double jump. You can use there's elements in the levels where you can jump off through and you jump higher to get. It's just so well done and very addicting. It's put out by Devolver.
Oh, I like them.
I think it's one of the best action platformer games I've played this year.
Messenger.
The Messenger, yeah. And the levels I opened up today, I'm like, and all of a sudden these levels, these linear levels that I was going through, mm-hmm. have now opened up to this huge Metroidvania map. I'm like, did not expect that. So you can go back
and forth. They also did that one a while back where they were like all the action heroes from the 80s.
Broforce?
Yeah, Broforce.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Yep. Devolver's pretty great.
Yeah.
And their E3 conferences are always pretty interesting.
What else have they done? I feel like there's at least one other major title that I'm a little more familiar with.
Was it like Sam something? Kill Sam or Sam Kill?
What?
I can't. Well, they did
like Serious Sam?
Serious Sam. No. Didn't they do that?
No, that was done by a company in like Eastern Europe or something like that.
I thought that was them.
They
I
really did. Liked Serious wait, wait. Sam. He's right.
Which one?
They did the Serious Sam, the first encounter, the recreation of it.
Okay. That may be why I'm recognizing
the name.
In
Serious Sam 3.
Because I've played the remaster of Serious Sam, and that's probably why because I saw the name every time I started the game up.
They did Hotline Miami. These are
Hotline Miami is hard.
I played all the way through Hotline Miami.
There's a sequel to that coming out.
It was hard as shit, but I finished that fucking game.
I can't get past the third level.
Did you see the sequel to that coming out? It's all 16-bit. It looks great.
I like that game a lot.
I think so.
I can't play Hotline Miami. It's like, I want to. It seems fun. I just can't get past the third level of the goddamn game. I get blown up as soon as I walk through the door.
So they did Shadow Warrior remake.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. They've done a lot of games. Hotline Miami 2, wrong number. Yeah, they do a lot of... And I think Devolver is more of the publisher, and they don't produce everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to number one. What's your number one? It might match mine.
My number one was God of War.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So my number one is actually Spider-Man.
That's my number two.
Number two.
Yeah. I loved Spider-Man.
I did too.
It's the best superhero game ever made.
Agreed.
Not better than God of War, though. It's like... God of War is like a hair better. And it's only because the storyline is just a hair better.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that. I mean, I really loved Spider-Man.
Oh, I love Spider-Man, too. I'm going to, whenever I get a chance, I'm going to buy the DLC.
I've already played through them all.
And I'm going to play through them. And then after that, I'm just going to replay through the whole storyline.
I'm going to, yeah, I need
to. Because it's so much fun.
I want to 100% and get everything.
I'm at 99%. I can't get a high enough score with the Taskmaster stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple more in the DLC of the social media girl that are fucking difficult.
I don't like her.
Yeah.
She's my least favorite character they created.
Yep. But
You don't have a PlayStation, do you?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. It's awesome. You should play it.
I think, yeah, PS4, if you have a PS4, Spider-Man and God of War.
So when I first played Spider-Man, I was super excited, and I thought like it was going to be super easy and intuitive. It's not. It's like it was kind of complicated learning how to play with Spider-Man, because they don't give you a lot of tips when you first play it right out the gate. They kind of just like, do this here, do that now, and they'll give you the buttons, but it's not like, I don't know, it's not easy the first time, but then when you play and continuously, you learn and you kind of create your own flow, and everybody plays differently from what I tell. Nobody plays Spider-Man the same way.
Yep.
And it's pretty cool. I agree on that.
Because when I was playing it one day over here, and you're like, you're doing that wrong. I'm like,
no, I didn't say you were doing it wrong. I was like, wow, I just said you play way different than I do.
Yeah.
Like, the way you web zip is way different than the way I web zip through the city. And that's probably like the most relaxing thing to do in the game. It's just zip around the city. It's awesome.
It's a beautiful game, too.
Yep. Storyline's great.
So let's get to you guys. That's my games. What have you played that we missed?
The only other thing I've played, and I've talked about it on here before, is Fallout 76. That's probably, as far as new games in 2018 go, I've only played that in the 15 minutes of Red Dead Redemption 2 that I've played. I've played quite a bit more of Fallout 76 at this point.
An honorable mention for me would be Mario Odyssey, but I know that came out like a year or two
2017.
Ago. Yeah.
That's fine, though.
Yeah, I finished it, so...
You just got a Switch this year, so...
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it. Probably the funnest I've ever had playing anything on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun game.
Made me... Inspired me to maybe play another Zelda game, even though I've been burned on Zelda games in the past.
I'm not a fan. I've tried... We've talked about this. I've tried to get into whatever the last Zelda game
Breath
on this
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
My wife and my kids love it. I'm gonna haven't played any of it.
Maybe I'm going to have to borrow really it try. And play it.
Okay. I can let you do that.
All right. Cool.
What else on your
list? That was the last game I played.
You said something earlier about having to maintain like your horse's stamina and having to rest and do all that stuff in Red Dead. One of the things that they've made part of Fallout 76, which I think has been a long time coming, and it was an optional thing in Fallout New Vegas. But that wasn't even done by Bethesda. That was done by a different studio.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to eat and drink in Fallout 76 or you'll die.
Oh, wow.
And if you haven't played a Fallout game, the problem with that is that everything's irradiated. So
how the hell do you do that?
Well,
just drink plain water.
You have to, yeah. So you have to like boil the water and purify it and do all this kind of stuff. A lot of that kind of gets taken care of for you. Like I don't have to spend a lot of time processing water, for example.
Right.
But you like if you just go up to a stream and drink the water out of it,
you die.
You'll get diseases.
Nice.
Yeah, you get diseases and you get radiation poisoning.
Get cancer and die.
So I like that they've added because to me, that's something that the Fallout world has always missed because it's a post-apocalyptic world, but it's never fully felt like it because you don't have to worry about just staying alive stuff.
Sure.
Now they're like, no, you got to eat, you got to drink. And so, and the food that you carry with you spoils.
Oh, I think they do that in Red Dead. No, they don't do that in Red Dead.
So you have to consume it within a certain amount of time.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So that also makes you conscious of what you hunt, I guess.
Yeah. Or what you can, most of what you eat, you're probably cooking yourself, but you're probably cooking it from pieces of things that you've killed. So,
How often is your character having to do this in the game?
Like, eating?
Yeah, eating and drinking.
Fairly regularly, actually.
But is it like so regularly to where it's like distracting from everything else?
Not really, because all it takes is you just go into your inventory and you go into your like the list of items in your inventory that give you bonuses and stuff. Your food and everything is in that list. And you just go in there and like, okay, I'm going to eat one of those. I'm going to drink one of these. All right, I'm good. And then you keep going. You know? It's not like an ordeal. It's just you got to do it.
Okay.
Because otherwise you get thirsty and then your health goes down and you can't perform as many actions and all this kind of stuff. I like that they've added that into Fallout. I've always felt like Fallout needed that. And your question about, well, what do you do because you're eating irradiated stuff? As you become irradiated, your maximum health drops, and you develop the potential to develop mutations, which some have positive and some have negative effects.
You grow an arm out of your ass or
Actually, there's one that's kind of similar. There's one where you grow an extra arm or something like that, I think. I haven't seen it myself, but I think that I've heard that. But there's medications that you can take that remove the radiation poisoning.
All right.
So you have to – being in the world, because the world's irradiated, you take radiation damage. And so it's just something that happens over time. That was me. And so you have to make sure you're carrying resources so that you can eat, that if and when you get a disease, either from the environment or from some creature that's attacking you, you can cure diseases and all this kind of – I like that they've added a lot of these survival elements into it. I think
interesting.
It's cool. So –
sounds not for me. It's okay, though. Every game has to be for everybody.
I know this game has gotten a lot of shit, and I understand why. But, like, even from their – when they announced the game at E3, they were totally upfront about this is what we're up against. No one has ever done this before. It's going to be broken out of the box. We won't know how to fix it because we won't know what's wrong until everyone is playing it.
Where there's stress test.
We are the stress test. And they've been very upfront about that from the beginning because you know how complex Bethesda games are.
Yeah.
And they're notoriously glitchy. Like, that's just part of the running joke is that Bethesda puts out these games. And they're glitchy because they're complex. You have so many elements that you don't know how this object in this mission from this place over here, if you're carrying that in your inventory and you activate this thing over here, it makes some weird fuckery happen and breaks things.
So what do they do to fix that?
They're constantly updating the game. They're constantly patching the game.
Wow.
And they're finding – they're watching people play. They're getting the data from the play, and they're going, okay, here's a flaw that people are exploiting. And some of those are actually causing servers to crash. People are doing things that are breaking servers intentionally. They're not intentionally breaking the servers per se.
But they're trying to max out the limits of
the
game.
The exploit that they're taking
– sure.
breaks the server, you know? And so they've been super active with the community and like on social media, and they're like, okay, what do we need to fix now?
Except for the collector edition straw bag, or
I think they even fixed that.
They fixed that.
I think they took some steps to fix that too. I think it's actually pretty fun. I like it.
I've never played a Fallout game.
If you've never played a Fallout game, I wouldn't start with this one.
Got it.
I don't think I'd start with this one.
All right.
But I think you could, but I think you'd get more into the Fallout world if you started with Fallout 3 or Fallout 4.
All right.
Very cool.
Honorable mention for me, I didn't play this game.
What?
But I watched someone play game on YouTube. It's this game called Raft. I don't know if it came out last year or not.
You paddle on a raft?
Yeah. Essentially, you're on like a water world, and it's a survival game, and you have to collect shit from the ocean and build your raft. It sounds fucking boring.
Yes.
But it's not.
But is it in VR?
It might be. Probably
is. I can see that.
Like there's a shark always attacking, or sharks attacking your raft, so you gotta like knock off the sharks and stuff.
Beat them off.
I watched a single video because the thumbnail looked interesting, and I had a couple of minutes to burn during my lunch break, and I was captivated. I ended up watching the whole series from beginning to end, where this guy play tested this game called Raft.
All right,
that's Raft. I think it's only on Steam. I think is it called Steam?
Maybe, yeah. The PC version?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's only available on there. I could be wrong, though.
So that wraps up our 2018 Rewinds for video games. Let's quickly, we'll take a quick break, quickly talk about like our top five-ish albums, and then wrap this up. You ready?
Do it.
Ready to round this thing out, talk about music. This is what I'm most prepared for.
Metal specifically.
Only metal will only. We be discussing.
Oh, only
so throw out most of your shit, George.
Only metal?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, this is so we'll do this way. We've done our metal lists on MSRcast. Mm-hmm. This can be the music list.
Sure. So
for your benefit, thank you. George, how gracious am
I? You're so gracious. Just like our glorious leader. Not you. The other leader. The leader of the country.
The one with the hamburgers.
The Hamburglar.
The hamburger.
The hamburgers. Yeah.
The hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
So.
Why don't you go first?
Want me to go first?
I've talked about music a lot.
Okay.
So if you want to actually hear more about what Dave and I saw, we put out our 2018 Rewind on MSRcast, which was episode number 215. Came out January 6th. It was Sean, the Metal Pigeon, myself, Dave, and our friend Justin from your podcast co-host, and we all talked about our favorite metal albums.
Well, he would be the guy to talk to because that's all he listens to.
That's true.
See, I bring a little extra spice to the table since I listen to more.
Some eclecticity.
There you go. Putting the clit into it.
Yeah. That's not real.
It's not?
No.
I mean, I've seen it.
Oh. I have never seen one.
What?
All right.
So you want me to start? Go through my list, I guess?
How do you want to do this, Dave? I'll leave this up to you because we've already gone through most of our list.
Yeah.
We can do like our top five-ish albums,
mm-hmm.
but let's go through your list real quick.
Okay. Starting at, I wish I had one more band to make this a full round 15, and it just made me upset that I didn't have one.
I'll throw you one.
What?
Shimlong and Gargar.
He doesn't even know how to say the name.
Blimlag Gargar, that's what I heard.
Shilmagognar.
This is what he's attempting to pronounce.
It's Shilmagognar.
Shilmagognar, there you go.
It's a fucking phenomenal album.
Gardner.
And I've actually listened to it more since we recorded that, and it's probably be higher on my list now.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, sure, why not? So anyway, number 14, this is a group I just discovered, like, I don't know, right under the gun before it became 2019. This is a group called Turnstile. They are a punk thrash metal group. I just came across them by accident. I think I found them across in one of the Reddit posts. Someone said, hey, new music, whatever, yep. Check this out. And I did. I said, oh, this sounds good.
Comparable to who?
Like a cleaner version of the Melvins, maybe?
Okay.
Maybe.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I might have to check them out then.
There's a group called Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. I played them at my holiday party. You probably didn't listen to it, but they're pretty good. They're very, they got like a country feel to them, but they're not country. They're like a country rock band, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's great music, great writing.
Okay.
I like them quite a bit. Zeal and Andor, sorry.
Yeah, I know them.
Yeah, Zeal and Ardor.
That album sort of didn't make my list, but it did surprise me because I heard a couple songs here and there.
The more I listened to it, the more I liked it.
Yeah.
I wasn't blown away by it the first time, but there was just a couple of good earworms that I kept going back to, and I just listened to it over and over again.
It's very heavier than I thought it was going to be in a lot of parts of the album.
Right on. This is a band I mentioned earlier in the beginning of 2018 because I discovered their album in 2017. It was a single for their new album coming out. This is a group called, I guess, Lick, I guess.
Yep.
They're L-I-K.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you about
these
guys.
I saw them on a lot of year-end lists.
Oh,
year-end,
really?
Actually.
That's good. I just been listening to them throughout the year and I said, I should put them on my list. I like them quite a bit. There's this like emo depressing stuff that I like sometimes. That's very
The Cure.
No, this is a group called Lord Huron.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I like him quite a bit. More on the indie side, Hardy Har. They're pretty fun. Indie rock music. That's really all I can explain it.
Already?
Ghost. Should have been higher on my list, but I didn't really do this in any particular order, to be honest with you. Rivers of Nile. Nihil? Mm-hmm. Is it Nile?
Nile.
Rivers, that album's so good.
It's a great album.
I never realized how much I needed saxophone in my metal music.
Listen to some Ishan.
I tried. I can't stand his voice.
He can't stand your voice either.
I'm sure he can't.
He actually told me that.
I know. Ninja Sex Party. It's great. The new album, Cool Party, is cool. Go check it out.
Okay.
If you need it more convincing, there's a song called Danny Don't You Know. It's probably their best produced song they've ever made.
I've seen the video and heard that song many, many times.
Yeah, it's a great song. Dance of the Dead's new album's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's just a good, fun techno rock metal album. Zola Jesus.
EDM is electronic death metal.
Okay. Sure, why not?
New genre.
Need to happen.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that has that.
I'm sure it exists. Zola Jesus.
What?
Zola Jesus.
Never heard of it.
She's like industrial opera. It's probably the best way I could explain her music.
Okay.
I didn't know who she was until this year, and she remixed her album that came out in 2017. That's why I'm adding her to the list. She's really good. I think people should check her out. In the Woods at my number 3.
Yes.
Yeah, I really dug their new album. I'm not a big fan of their earlier stuff because I tried listening to it after I listened to the new album. I don't know what it was about the two differences.
Well, they had a long break between the first couple albums and what they're doing now. So.
I guess. The new one is so tight and snappy and great writing.
If you like them, check out some of the more modern Enslaved albums. I think you would dig that.
Okay. I think I saw a lot of people on the Reddit compare them to them. And then there's another indie rock artist called Sam Fender. I think he's really good. He writes and produces all his own music. And this band I've been talking about, I don't know, for a while. I've brought them to you guys. Y'all said they were pretty good. Orbit Culture. They had an EP that came out in 2018. It's not their best album, but it's really good, and I like it quite a bit. It's called Red Frog. They're just not getting any airplay. Nobody's talking about this band, and they deserve to be up there with a lot of popular bands. So, you know, if you care about my opinion, which you probably don't.
Do I care about your opinion?
Well, you do, but, you know, people listen to the podcast, and like, what does he know, basically, is what they're getting at. Yeah, Orbit Culture. Check it out. That's my number one. I think I listened to their album the most this year.
Very cool.
Or last year.
Well, some of those are surprising to me.
Why?
There's more metal than I thought there would be.
Well, shame on you.
I know. George loves metal?
Maybe? Question mark? Yeah. Possibly?
All right, Dave, what about you?
Red Fog.
I said Red Frog.
Yes, and I'm over here looking for Red Frog. I'm like, I'm not finding this Red Frog anywhere.
Sorry, it's Red Fog. Yeah. I said Frog, and I meant Red Fog. Sorry. They're great. I really like them. That album, it's probably not their best album. The album before that is probably a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But that one's really good. They got more clean vocals in the Red Fog one. Their videos are terrible, though.
Most videos are.
Like, they're just in a rock quarry for most of their videos.
What was I just saying?
I know. When you said it, that's all I was laughing inside.
Either a rock quarry or
a warehouse.
A warehouse with a lot of fog.
Yep.
So, want to go through your list a little bit?
Do five?
We can do 10.
All right.
If we're doing it this quick, let's just do it.
Let's see. Let's see. Where was I? Looking at my old notes from, I think my 10 was At the Gates, To Drink from the Night Itself. I think that was my 10.
Great album.
Really liked it. I was excited to get to see At the Gates this year, and I think that probably influenced my enjoyment for that album.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
9, I believe, 9 was Visigoth, Conqueror's Oath. Really fun, it's just fun heavy metal, just like kind of classic metal, a little bit of power metal, but it's very old school feeling, and it's, you know,
but modern production.
It's all warriors and sword and sorcery kind of shit, and it's just fun. It's
cool.
Just, yeah,
what's it called?
It's called Visigoth is the band. The name of the album is Conqueror's Oath.
All right.
It was the, I said this during the MSRcast recording, but it was the first album to come out in 2018 that I got really excited while listening to.
I don't think this is George's jam.
He won't like.
Probably not.
He's not
gonna, power metal at some point.
Well, it's not power.
It's more traditional heavy
trad
metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might like it. I'm not sure.
You might not like the vocals, I don't think.
It's not the high-pitched operatic power metal thing. It's more traditional heavy metal style.
Yeah, I'll give it a listen.
So, 8 was Mournful Congregation, The Incubus of Karma.
That's number 12 for me.
This was the slowest album of the year. It is slow doom metal. It is just droning and...
Depressing
and good. It's really good. Like if you're into that kind of thing, I said on MSRcast, if you know you're listening to My Dying Bride and need to bring the mood down a little bit, you can go to Mournful Congregation.
If My Dying Bride is too fast for you,
yeah, a little too upbeat, a little too lighthearted, you can go to Mournful Congregation. This is a concept album, kind of. Sort of a concept album.
Do they just hit one note every minute?
Almost.
Wow.
It's not quite like Sun slow. It's not. You're familiar with Sun?
I don't think so.
Drone, like a drone metal band. Okay. It's all just like noisescapes and stuff. I like them a lot. It's certainly not everybody's cup of tea. It's all,
okay.
there are vocals in Sun, but like the vocals don't really matter. It's just about these bizarre droning soundscapes of like bleakness and despair. It's not that slow.
Okay.
It's not like it's not at that level, but it's not too far off.
All right.
It's really slow doom metal. And the whole album is about basically it's this like nihilistic concept album of just the complete futility of everything, that everything is pointless because everything will end.
It's just a feel good album of the year.
Yeah.
Just go kill yourself now.
And that won't matter because everything else is going to be gone too.
Yep.
Like it's not just your life is meaningless because you're going to die.
Everything
take
is.
That, but to a cosmic scale, nothing matters because everything is going to go away.
So, see this pale blue dot? We're just a speck of dust.
So, yeah, fun stuff. 7 was Uwata, Cult of a Dying Sun. Mm. I listened to that one a lot this year. 6 was Oceans of Slumber, The Banished Heart, which I almost didn't include on my list, but I gave it one final listen through. I listened to it a lot when it came out.
Me too.
And I didn't want it to end up on my list just because
we discussed
I know
this
these,
too, yeah.
Yeah, just because I know some of the people in the band,
right?
They're hometown band. They're from here. They've had amazing success with this album. This album was on a lot of lists. It was talked about all year long, and they deserve the credit that they've been given. I didn't want to include them on my list because of the acclaim that they've gotten elsewhere. I didn't want to include them just because, hey, yeah, this is the local band and they've gone big and I know some of these people. I didn't want it to be on there for that reason. So I gave it one last dedicated listen through before I finalized the list. This absolutely deserves to be on top 10 list. It is a beautiful, beautiful album. Great stuff.
I go back to this album a lot.
Mm-hmm. My number 5 was another local band. Who was my kind of opposite of that. This one, they are kind of an unknown. And so I am happy to put them on my list because I want them to have some attention. Will's Dissolve, The Heavens Are Not on Fire was the album.
Agreed.
Really good. Surprisingly good freshman album. Like this is their first release, right? Like they haven't done anything prior. Really, really good songwriting.
And if they didn't play on a Wednesday, I would have gone to the show.
I was fully intending to go,
sick,
and
though.
That was my worst day of being sick, was that day, and so I didn't go. Number four was Ihsahn Ahmer. Really liked that one.
I tried, guys. I couldn't get into it. So many people recommended it.
That album specifically?
Maybe. It's his latest one, right?
Yeah.
He starts screaming and I can't take the vocals. It hurts my ears.
Okay. That's the black metal style.
It's just not for me, I guess.
I think Ihsahn is one of my favorite artists working right now.
Like, the music was good, but when he started singing, it was bad. For me.
Fair enough. Number three was Ghost Prequel. Listen to that album a fuck ton this year.
I've been calling it prequel so much.
I call it Prequel because that's how Tobias Forge pronounced it.
Okay.
So
I thought they were saying prequel this whole entire time.
But at the same time, in the same interview where he said it that way, he said that he's not sure on how it's pronounced. But that's how he pronounced it. So
it is a great album, though. I enjoy that album quite a bit.
I listened to it a lot this year. Number two.
It's a good sing-along album.
Yeah, it is. Number two was Behemoth, I Loved You at Your Darkest. And number one, surprising the shit out of me.
Yay!
With a bullet.
Was Amorphous, Queen of Time.
I thought he was going to say In Flames there for a second. That would have laughed my ass off.
Yes, I'll start with my number one, which was you just mentioned, Amorphous, Queen of Time. Gone back to that album so many damn times. Yep. Such a phenomenal, great album. Every song on it is... So what I like about this album so much, it blends old-school Amorphous songwriting with some of the newer style, and it just works so well together. There's so much Elegy on here. There's so much Tuonela on here, and then like what they're doing modern stuff. I just adore this album so much, and I've always been a huge Amorphous fan, but this is just took him to a new level for me.
I've always liked Amorphous, but I've never thought Amorphous could be a number one album of the year band for me, and I've talked at length about why that is.
Yep.
They fixed all of that in this album. This is the best album I think I've heard from Amorphous. I just went back to it over and over and over and over and over this year. It's probably my number one because of how much I listen to it.
So what it's is your favorite? Listenable. What's your favorite song off the album? There's
a lot of really good options. The one that I had picked, because I was also picking a song off of each album to include in a playlist if we were going to do one. The song that I picked off of it was The Golden Elk. You had picked, which one did you pick?
my
Heart
song
of, Heart of the Giant.
Heart of the Giant, I
really
love.
Good song. That's another really good
I love the B. There's just something about that's one of the most catchy.
It's a great
songs.
Intro to the album.
It's the only song I actually liked on the album.
Good.
You and Sean can hang out then.
Yeah.
Because Sean, the Amorphous fan, felt the same way.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wrong Direction. I really love Wrong Direction. The chorus. It's just so catchy and sing-alongy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Amongst Stars, it's anytime you put Annika with Amorphous together, I'm excited that hopefully they do the song live together.
I bet they do. When they announce that tour, I'm like, okay, so she's going to come out for one song when Amorphous plays.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let me go to my number 10. It's... something that's actually on George's list in the woods.
Hey, Cease the Day. All the way on the bottom of the 10.
Yeah, well, there's so much good shit this year.
Was there?
Yep.
There really was.
I know.
Number 9 for me was Behemoth. I Loved You at Your Darkest. I've always liked Behemoth, but not as much apparently as these guys have. And this is an album that really has pulled me in completely into the band.
I've been a big Behemoth fan for... God, it's been a long time.
I never liked him. It's just...
I'm just trying to think about, like, how long have I been listening to Behemoth and considered myself a big fan? And I'm realizing now it's a lot longer than I would have thought.
Probably.
It's a good almost 20 years, probably.
Number 8 for me is Orphanland, Unsung Prophets, and Dead Messiahs. This came out last January and still stays in my rotation.
It probably would have ended up on my list if I'd listened to it more, because it is a very good album.
Yes, it is. Number 7 for me is The Endless Road Turns Black by The Skull. Eric Wagner is one of my favorite vocalists of all time, from Trouble. Mm-hmm. This is his new band, The Skull. This quality fucking doom metal. I love his stuff. Number 6 for me, this is sort of changed since when we recorded. It's now Visigoth, Conqueror's Oath.
Oh, it moved, huh?
It's moved. Yes. It's a phenomenal album. It's fun. It's catchy. I liked them on their last album, but this is they need to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be bigger, I think. Number 5 for me is Judas Priest, Firepower. Judas Priest is back, you know, baby.
That was a really good album that I listened to twice, and then I just stopped listening to it because there was so much else going on.
I sort of felt like I've always been a big Priest fan. The last album that came out, I wasn't such a big fan of.
I liked it. I thought it was really good.
But
this was better.
Yeah, oh, totally. Number 4 for me is Oceans of Slumber, The Banished Heart. And just like you said, not because they're friends of ours and we know the people in the band and all that, but the heartbreak on this album, the sadness, the quality of everything, it's just a phenomenal album.
I think that this is real art as music. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something to actually dedicate time and pay attention to. It's not a great put on as background music.
Correct.
Album. This is a sit down and listen to it album. And if you invest the time in it, I feel like the rewards are there.
So number 3 for me was Constellation of the Black Light from Wolfheart, who I'm excited. They're touring here in April with one of my other favorite bands who have a new album coming out, Swallow the Sun. But then Children of Boredom is a headliner, which means we get to go home early. That's right. I'm okay with that.
Children of Boredom?
Children of Bodom.
Oh, well, I thought you said Boredom.
Bottom.
He did.
I did.
Oh.
That's the joke.
I was like, wow, what a terrible name for a band.
They were okay when they first came out, but they got too much into that guitar wankery, you know, self-ego.
Alexi Laiho is a really good guitar player, and he fucking knows it. And so he shows off to a degree that it becomes not fun anymore.
Yep. He gets lost in his own solos, kind of deal.
Sort of. Yeah.
When the whole solo is a song.
But
like a key Kirk Hammett.
That's the thing. You know what? Like the first few, I haven't really listened to Children of Bodom in at least 10 years. It's been a long time. But the
Me
first
too.
Handful of albums are actually not bad. They're not.
No, agreed.
You know, like, they're not the greatest thing ever. Part of what burned me out on them is in that, like, I don't know, like 2003 to 2005 period, they were on every goddamn tour that I saw, and I just got tired of seeing them. They were on everything.
I think last time we saw them was, I can't remember the headliner or the opener, but Tear was a middle band, and then Children of Bodom.
Mm-hmm.
So we like, oh, we get to leave. We were there for Tear, you know, who have a new album coming out this year too.
Yeah.
Number 2 for me is a band called Brainstorm, the album Midnight Ghost. Such catchy songs on this album. And I've been a fan of the singer, Andy B. Frank. That's his name. He's German.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was funny.
It should be funny, but it's funny.
You don't have to be frank about it. But he's also in a band called Symphorce, who I like a lot, but...
Synthforce?
Symphorce. Symphorce.
Oh, I thought you like they play synth, like
no,
synth
not
battles.
Synth, but sim. Like the Sims, but with a Y. But Midnight Goat, man, Ghost, there's so many just amazingly catchy songs on this album, and I go back to it a lot. And then, of course, number 1 for me, Amorphis, Queen of Time.
That's all right. It. Hey guys, we did it.
We did.
We looked back at 2018 and we kissed this ass.
Now it's 2019. Now we need to look forward to what's coming up.
Yep.
What are you looking forward to in 2019?
To buying Spider-Man on Blu-ray.
Oh, Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
I was like, Far From Home hasn't even come out yet.
Well, it's coming out this year, right?
Looking forward to that. It's in July.
We saw a trailer of that today, didn't we? Yeah. Or I saw it today. What else is coming out?
Avengers End Time is coming out.
Endgame.
Endgame, that's right. Sorry. Yeah,
not End Time. Endgame.
Endgame.
Which one comes out first? Spider-Man or that one?
Captain Marvel is March. And then I think end of April is Endgame. I don't want to call it End Time. Wasn't there a Megadeth album? It was Endgame too, wasn't it?
There was yeah.
I don't know why I got End Time stuck in my head. And then Spider-Man's like July.
So afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of superhero movies.
There's back to three back. Marvel ones in like within like 5 months, 7 months of each other. Five months.
I want to be excited for Captain Marvel. I just can't. I'm just not.
I'm going to give it a shot. I mean,
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I got to see this.
Right.
Because it doesn't look very exciting.
So what are you looking forward to in 2019? The new Doom?
Yeah.
Eternal?
Yeah. I will play the hell out of that when it comes out.
I think I mentioned this earlier, but I beat the Doom VFR game that's mm-hmm. on the PSVR. Short game, but it's made me want to go back and play Doom again. I'm mm-hmm. like, I need to pull that out and play it again.
Really good. Good game. Looking forward to more of the same, basically. That's all I want. I want more of the same. More monsters, more guns. And that looks so far like what I'm going to get. So I'm happy.
Sometimes the formula doesn't need to fucking change.
Pokemon.
No.
Detective Pikachu.
No.
Yeah.
You know I'm going to be there.
I'm going to see it. It looks good. The trailer looks super convincing.
No.
I have a kid obsessed with Pokemon. That's true. So you I'm there. It's happening.
I don't.
I liked the cut of the trailer where they changed all of Ryan Reynolds' dialogue to ranting from Alex Jones.
I have not heard this.
Hilarious.
I have seen that.
Go ahead.
Star Wars comes out next year.
Yeah, it comes out in December, right?
December 20th.
That's a long time from now.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it is.
The new Joker movie?
No. I am not sure yet.
I don't know.
If I'm excited about that. I like Joaquin Phoenix a lot.
In it, right?
I'm just...
It can only be crazy. Right? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the new Tarantino movie.
The Tarantino
it's
movie.
Always an event, right?
That's, what's it based on? It's on Sharon Tate, maybe?
No, it's based on Charles Manson murders.
That's Sharon Tate.
Oh. Well, she's in it.
But... Right, I thought it was based around her, though.
It could be, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. It's a great cast, though.
We already mentioned Spider-Man, Lion King. I'm not really excited about it. Toy Story 4. I want to be excited.
Yeah, maybe.
Men in Black International. Jesus Christ, that comes out next year. Godzilla. I'm excited for that. King of the Monsters, baby.
Go, go, Godzilla.
Yeah. Aladdin. Yeah.
Aladdin and Lion King are both out in the same year?
Yeah.
Jesus. They just announced Hunchback in Notre Dame, too.
Did they?
Did they really win?
Today with Josh Gad. I'm like, oh.
Is he playing the Hunchback?
Yeah.
God.
That's a terrible idea. That's not real.
No.
You're lying. You're pulling our leg.
No, I'm not. I wish I was.
All right. Whatever. That's a terrible decision. John Wick 3.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of those movies.
Oh, dude, you need to.
The first one's great.
I can't find it streaming anywhere, so...
I can let you borrow it.
Because I think the second one was streaming on some stuff, but I hadn't seen the first one yet. I really wanted to watch the first one first.
Hellboy?
Yes.
I'm tentatively looking forward to it.
We've talked about the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did talk about
the trailer. I want to like it a lot, but... Because I'm a Hellboy fanboy.
I saw this really great meme. Someone put up like the Ron Perlman Hellboy, and then they put up the new Hellboy.
Yeah.
And it's like, myth, not even once.
I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to a couple some albums this year.
What's that?
There's a new Anthrax album coming out. They're working on.
Wow. Swallow
the Sun comes out real soon, this month, I believe. The new Avantasia album, new Candlemass, new Hammerfall. New Devin Townsend.
New Evergrey.
New Evergrey.
New Soen.
New Soen. I've heard the new Soen.
Have you?
I have.
Is it great?
It is Soen good.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good shit coming out this year.
Right on. Deadly Class, the TV
starts
show.
Tonight.
It starts tonight. I missed it.
I forgot to record it. I need
to watch
that.
Record it, too. So hopefully they do a repeat.
Or on Hulu.
It's a sci-fi channel.
Maybe. They have an app, too, so
I'm sure
they'll show it on their app.
Cool.
But that's it. That's 2018 and what we're looking forward to in 2019.
Or some of the things.
Some of the things. Yeah. We'll talk about it more.
Will we?
We
will. This could be the end.
It's not the end. I'll tell you that much for sure.
It's only the beginning.
Let's thank everybody for tuning in to our 2018 Rewind. You can find us, of course, on our social media at Metal Geeks on Twitter, on Instagram, and the Facebook. You can find us at MetalGeeks.net. You can find us now at ESONetwork.com. They've switched over to everything to ESONetwork.com. You can find us on, of course, iTunes. Subscribe to us there, but you can also find the ESO Network feed there where all the shows on the network are there. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Spotify and any place you get your podcast.
Right.
Any
on.
Podcast catcher that you have, you can find us.
Even on Spotify.
Even Spotify. That's right.
That's terrible.
Don't show memes while we're trying to close the show.
What?
No, it was
verification of what you were talking about.
Yeah, I thought you were pulling my leg about the whole Josh Gad playing.
Oh, yeah. I told you I wish I was making it up.
I mean, it sounds like a joke.
It's sort of perfect casting, though.
Is it?
Maybe.
Josh Gad? The guy who sings musicals?
Yep. Yeah, I met him one time.
Yeah, you told me.
At D23.
It was before Frozen came out? Or
yeah, it was
while
way
Frozen
before.
Was,
yeah. Yeah, it was like before he was like super popular, you know?
Yeah, before he was worth
it. I knew him
dollars.
From... He had a... TV series, like a sitcom at one point, right after Book of Mormon.
Is he in Book of
he
Mormon?
He was. He was one of the original
cast. He was.
Oh, right on. Yeah. I've never seen that show.
It's funny.
Yeah. I'd like to see it.
Where can people find you?
I will have seen it by tomorrow.
People can find me on all the social medias at George Tripsis. And if you want to hear more of my rantings and ravings and stupid comments... you can check me and Justin out as well as Andy at Mindfudge Comedy Podcast and our comic book Speak No Evil at Gray Bear Comics, GRAY.
Real Dave?
Find me at Red Viking Dave on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at art show or heavy metal concert near you.
And last thing we need to do is thank our sponsors. So thank you again to TantrumCollectibles.com. So if you go to that website, put in the code MetalGeeks, you're going to save 10% off your entire order of cool brands like Funko, Bandai, Artifacts, Banpresto. Spoke to the guy who runs it and Alpha, who we've had on the show, and they're going to be doubling down on some more cool Funko stuff. So if you're looking for anything rare and interesting that's Funko related, go to them.
Right on.
And you'll save 10%.
Get that 10%.
That's right. So we will see you guys on the next episode, and we'll probably dive more into some other stuff that we've been up to recently, not looking back at 2018. 2018's over.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
It's in the past.
That's right.
We're in the future.
Yes.
Maybe.
Future Man.
Future. I have not seen that show.
Funny.
Is it?
Yes.
It just looks like dick jokes. Is that all it is?
Yes.
Because that's all it really looks like.
No, not all, but
it
yes.
just looks like Seth Rogen dick jokes for an hour is what it looks like.
Not all, but some.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys on the next episode. And as always,
keep it metal.
And always keep it geeky.
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker!
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Hey, this is Mike. A few months back, I was given the assignment of creating a new promo for the Earth Station 1 podcast. I figured I had a ton of time, but I kind of got distracted. Go figure. And we realized we had somehow missed our deadline. Hi. So here I am late at night trying to figure out something creative to get you to listen to our show. I guess I could just use my announcer voice. Listen to the Earth Station 1 podcast. For almost 9 years, we've been bringing your inner geek out to play. We are a founding member of the ESO Network, and you can find us up on most media players like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. I think that might work.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.